This is PFW in Progress.
Hello, fellas. Everybody's here. Freddy, Tom, good to see you.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I do you a favor and take Freddy in when you're having a bad time, and then you try to push me out. I gotta kick asses sometimes to make it run right. We had a little argument, Freddy and I, so I had to straighten him out. He was banging cocktail waitresses two at a time.
Paul Perillo.
Come over here, kid. Learn something. You start out with a little bit of oil. Then you fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes and tomato paste. You fry it. You make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil. You shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Cut the crap. I got more important things for you to do. How's Paulie?
Oh, Paulie. Won't see him no more.
And Andy. And Andy?
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says.
Andy Hart.
I know it was you. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
Some guy named Tom.
Tom's no longer conciliating. Gonna be our lawyer in Vegas. There's no reflection on Tom, but that's the way I want it.
Mike, why am I out?
You're not a wartime conciliating, Tom. Things may get rough with the move we're trying.
Maybe I could help.
You're out, Tom.
PFW in Progress.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
All right, and we're all back in. Fred, Andy, Tom, Paul, Gary in the booth. It's Wednesday. That means it's PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your calls and emails. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. And the phone number is 508-543-7482. I mean, where the heck do we begin? I mean, there is a lot of news since the last time we spoke. And it begins with Adalys Thomas.
Adalys Thomas, the perfect fit for the biggest need.
The as Ron Borges said, the prize.
Now, did Ron Borges really say it, or did somebody else say it? And Ron took the credit.
The prize of the free agent season, and the Patriots nailed him. Guys, are you surprised that they were so quick to get the most coveted prize in free agency?
No. Not the way it turned out, based on hearing some of the way Thomas has spoken. It's clear he had came into it with a lot of parameters in his mind about where he wanted to be, what kind of team he wanted to be on, you know, the money aspect, whether he was looking for a lot, apparently not looking to squeeze out every dime out of this trip. The more you hear, it seems like it was, you know, the perfect storm. The Patriots' needs and money and everything matched the wishes of Adalys Thomas.
So Andy's not surprised after hearing Adalys Thomas speak. I think we're a little surprised the way it happened.
Right, the way it happened initially, but the way I looked at it, it was everything was there for it to happen perfectly. You know, he was clearly the perfect Patriot option with his mindset, talking about how, you know, he's just another piece and not going to be the savior and didn't want to be disrespectful to anyone and wasn't looking to move to the West Coast, wanted to play on a good team and a good defense, wasn't trying to squeeze all. I mean, everything just kind of came together perfectly for the Patriots.
Well, I'm surprised because of that. I'm surprised that the Patriots were really the only players because I thought he was going to come out and there was going to be a bunch of teams after him. But really, when it came down to it, it was the Patriots and that was it.
And themselves, I'm surprised not so much at the interest on the Patriots' part in Thomas, but I am surprised they jumped in so quickly, Fred, in like the first part of your original question. Rarely have the Patriots been 12:01 a.m. players in free agency, and they certainly were this year. They got the biggest guy in the market, and they got him at their terms. I think it's a huge coup for Belichick and Pioli, and I am surprised. I think it makes perfect sense. Like Andy said, it was the perfect storm. I agree with everything, but I am very surprised and pleasantly so.
And, of course, it didn't end there. I mean, they had a plan going in. Sammy Morris was at Gillette Stadium Friday night, getting the green light from the doctors. Adalys Thomas came on Saturday. They got that done. Then they had Kyle Brady. That was probably already in the works I'm just saying they had a deal ready for him, and all it took was him to sign it. And then they get Wes Welker. And by the way, perfect use of Adam Schefter on that Wes Welker deal, because he's the guy that floated those big numbers out first. That was really just a ruse to kind of show Miami that the Patriots were serious about signing this guy. So you might as well take a little bit more than you would have gotten otherwise because you weren't going to match. So Miami gets an extra draft pick out of it, albeit a seventh, and the Patriots get to, you know, sign him, you know, for a lesser deal than was floated by Schefter.
Yeah, I mean, The Sammy Morris signing does nothing for me, to be honest with you. I just think
I think it was a need.
Well, it's one of those.
It's funny, I'm more excited about the Morris signing than the Welker signing.
But I think both of them, without Thomas, everybody would be angry. But they're those signings once you have your big one and fill your biggest need, now you're filling out the little holes.
Right.
You know, a couple of years ago, if they had signed Adalys Thomas and Monty Beisel and, you know, some of those other, you know, Richie Caldwell types, you'd say, oh, you know, that's a pretty good offseason. But if Sammy Morris had been the first or, you know, one of the names out there, you'd be upset.
Yeah, I'm wondering what he weighs now that he's off the Sudafed.
He's off the Sudafed?
Well, Paul, you mentioned that you're more excited about Sammy Morris than Wes Welker. Why?
Well, I just think Morris really fills a need. I don't think that Sammy Morris has to go out and score 13 touchdowns to replace Corey Dillon. No. I just think he needs to go out and be able to get 80, 90, 100 carries and make sure that Lawrence Maroney is not forced to carry the ball, you know, 350 times and really get worn down in his second year. He just needs to provide a little bit of change of pace. If he can be better than, say, Patrick Pass, who has kind of filled that role in the past, I think it's a great signing.
I agree.
I think Maroney, as Tom said all of last year, I think Lawrence Maroney can run it in from 1 yard out. So I fully expect Maroney to go from, what did he have, 6 touchdowns?
Yeah.
I expect him to go to double that number at the minimum.
Yeah.
And then maybe have Morris pick up 4 or 5 touchdowns. There's your rushing
production. I kind of agree. I'm more excited about Welker than Morris, but I am excited about Morris. And I don't agree with these people who are saying, well, he's not the bruising back that Corey Dillon is. Why do you need that? I mean,
He's a backup.
Jerome Bettis and a guy, or Corey Dillon and a guy. That's been a recent thing.
He's a backup player. He was a backup in Buffalo. Yeah. They had no running backs, and this guy couldn't claim the starting job. So he's a backup.
He's not a starter.
But that's what he's going to be here.
Right. And that's the good news. But that's the good news for Maroney fans.
Right.
Because that means that they didn't want another Corey Dillon in here. They want Maroney to carry it 20, 25 times a game, like Paul said.
Your opinion and my opinion is now proved right. They feel the same way that we do about Maroney.
And we'll see if we are proven right, if he can carry the load.
Right.
Because he's going to get the chance.
Now, if he's dancing behind the line of scrimmage on first and goal, we'll be saying maybe he can't get in from the one.
He won't go into this season with rib cartilage.
And if Sammy Morris starts getting 10 carries a game, then you need to be concerned about Maroney, because I agree with Paul. He's here to get 90 carries, catch a couple of passes out of the backfield, and be a blocker.
But I really like the Welker signing for a lot of reasons. One, I think
better. They paid him some money.
And with a great quarterback like Brady is, his production's going to be even better. And he had pretty good production in Miami.
He's a playmaker.
Plus, I really think if this is the last, if Troy Brown doesn't come back, he's that utility special teams guy that can handle the ball, kickoff, punt returns. He's really a perfect guy for this.
He's a nice little player, is
nice
what I refer
player.
To.
Oh, and I think he could be better than that.
And maybe he can be, but when did nice little players get a second-round trade and $10 million in guaranteed money? That's the only thing I question. Well, maybe the whole world is just turned over now.
Well, I think a lot of these deals now, more and more of these deals are guaranteed in some form or another. It's not necessarily all bonus,
while Daniel Graham may have been overpaid, you agree that Wes Welker was overpaid, too.
A little bit. Absolutely.
But the difference is you overpaid and you traded a second-round pick for him.
Yeah.
They must have really
wanted
him.
That's what I don't get. I have no problem saying, you know what, the cap has gone up 25% in 2 years, so money's different now. But when did a second-round pick get you a guy with one touchdown?
Well, I just think that they look at this guy, all the things he can do for this team, and – you know,
but to be honest, Fred, the things that he does is average. He's an average kick returner, he's an average punt returner, and he's an average receiver. Now, the numbers, those are the numbers. That's not my opinion. Those are facts.
Everybody has called
him. Maybe they think he can be more spectacular here.
On a Miami offense, you know, the passing.
Punt return and kick return is not on offense.
No, I know.
And that's a big part of his role.
They're not kicking off a lot in Miami.
The numbers are average. Maybe they think he can be more spectacular here. But so up to this point in his career, he's
returning a lot.
You're right. I misspoke.
Okay. Plus, both are
Both
are sort of irrelevant because that's why they do it by average and not total yards on kick returns. It's average. What do you get every time you do it?
But he's obviously a player
that averages 8 yards less than the leaders.
22, 22, which is you could go out there and get 22.
I think this is the perfect guy for this team.
Well, he's obviously
he runs good routes.
But can we do something, Fred? Can we do something? Can we stop talking about Patriots kind of player? Because Sammy Morris took steroids. End of story. That's the bottom line. He took steroids. I've seen him with his shirt off. I can guarantee you that.
Tom's talking about bodies again.
Dante Stallworth was in some kind of he's in some kind of trouble. We don't know exactly what it is. They're after him.
I'm not talking about Patriots players character-wise.
I'm just saying ability-wise and versatility. I'm talking about for the fans, too. Can we end this, he's a Patriots kind of player. You know what's a Patriots kind of player? A player that'll help Bill Belichick win games. That's a Patriots
kind of player. That's what I'm talking about, too.
Okay. And all these guys could.
All right. Kyle Brady is the last one of the four that have been signed already.
That was no-brainer. Blocking tight end.
Yep. Perfect. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Now the talk out there is Adante Stallworth.
Now this one I don't like. I like it for 1 year. I don't like 6 years, $32 million on a guy who's only been healthy one season, was not healthy in college either, by the way. So since he came to Tennessee in college, he's only been healthy one season? Full season.
He missed four games last year, but other than that, he's played in all 16 games in his career.
He's only had two seasons when he did play six.
That's untrue.
Yeah.
Two years, I'll get the book right now.
This guy's a hamstring.
He's like three or four years with games missed.
All the time.
Okay, let's find out his games.
My guess is he was battling hamstring injuries.
Okay.
He's one of those guys that just keeps popping
up. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's weak or, you know, they talk about Chad Jackson. His high school coach was talking about how he hurt his hamstring in high school, and he's had to deal with it ever since, and we saw that last year.
Now, Andy thinks the six-year deal is more of a 1-2-year deal that they can get out of. Now, if that's the case, I'm all for it. But if it's one of those where he's getting a lot of money up front, and then I'm against it because I just think he's too much of an injury risk.
One of the things I heard on the radio today, which I kind of disagree with, is, well, now that people know that he's a first-timer in the substance abuse program, his leverage goes down when he's bargaining for money. But what these announcers don't realize is you don't know all the people that are in first-timers. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people out there making big money who are first-time offenders in that program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't think he loses a lot of leverage. If people knew all the people that were in that program, you'd be surprised.
Well, and I think he could be a heck of a
player here.
I just know that's one of the reasons why they don't reveal those names and there's such a hefty price on people who leak that information is because there's so many in it.
Right. Well, it's huge. There's a huge number. Stallworth, by the way, before last year, he played 4 years. 2002, only played 13 games, only started 7 of those. 2003, only played 11 games, only starting 3 of those. In 2004, he played in 16 but only started 10, which tells me he was banged up. And then in 2005, he played in 16 and only started 13, which also tells me that he was banged up.
Right.
Okay.
So he has really never started all 16 games and only played in all 16 two out of 5 years.
But he wasn't their number one.
Yeah, he was.
Joe Horn.
Well, him and Joe Horn. He was drafted to be their number one receiver. But you always start two receivers. I mean,
if a receiver's healthy enough to start, he's going to start.
He's a number one caliber receiver, but
his talent's not the problem.
Yeah, it's just his injury
health
problem.
Health is the problem. I mean, it's a hamstring thing that doesn't generally go away.
To be fair, the last one was ACL, right? So that's not hamstring. Didn't he tear his ACL?
But when?
Last year.
No, he was fine.
He had hamstring problems. He played in the playoffs.
Oh,
he missed games in the middle of the year with his recurring hamstring problem.
Oh. And to me, I'd rather tear an ACL than have one of those recurring hamstring problems.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
The guys that were on the block last
year. I hate those recurring problems that always pop up year after year.
Because they're probably going to pop up again.
All right. Well, what about Randy Moss?
I'll take him.
More than Dante Stallworth.
Yeah, because he's better.
I'm not sure if he is better at this point in his career. Hmm. That's my concern with him.
We don't know that because he hasn't been trying the last 2 years.
My guess, I would take a chance on him, no question.
Are we talking for a third round pick?
No question.
If that's what we're talking about, then I'll take him in 2 seconds.
No question. If you're talking
for a first round pick, then I'm going to have to reevaluate.
You're talking about a third round pick and paying him. I mean, he's owed, what, $9 million this year?
I hate to tell you this, but if you want a guy like Randy Moss, you're not going to get him for a bargain basement price. That's the bottom line.
I'm just asking if you're willing to pay him $9 million.
You know I'm always a sucker for these talented guys. I'm preaching T.O. Now, don't get me wrong. Halfway through the season, I'm going to tell you that, they should have never gotten him because he quit last year. But if you show me Randy Moss and you show me Tom Brady, I got to take the chance. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think if they're willing to take a chance on him, go for it.
I think they'd be willing to.
Yeah.
To me, it's the value, whether they can get him for a second, a third, whatever. And I would guess they're going to ask him to restructure in some way. Maybe it's even turn some of that into bonus just for contractual and salary cap purposes.
But I would be willing to do like a TO type contract that the Cowboys did, where you can cut ties after a year. You know, give them $10 million for a year, the $5 million up front and the $5 million base salary. We'll give you the $10 million, but you're going to have to show us that you're after a year that we still want you back. Which the Cowboys make the mistake by saying we want you back when they should have cut TO. But
I just want to know. I don't know if he's done. And I want, he's a guy that's always been a big play down the field guy.
You just don't know.
Long strides.
Yeah.
He's not going to turn into, oh, I lost a step. Don't worry. I'll go over the middle and become a possession. He's not going to turn into that.
Yeah, this
he has one mentality on the football field. And if he can't do that anymore, then he's not
valuable. Starter that can become a reliever.
How did we reverse roles in this argument?
What?
Because upstairs we had the exact opposite roles. I was like,
no,
eh,
I would take it in a heartbeat.
I don't know.
My concern is that he's not the same guy physically. And you
remember, I agree with that.
He didn't used to look fast. It's just he took two steps and he was 10 yards
gone
from the guy.
Yep.
Calvin Johnson fast.
Yeah. So if he's lost that in some way, his value is greatly diminished.
Well, I would imagine they'll try him out and time him and see and compare him to what he used to do. And
right, well, let's be fair. This is all rumors right now.
Right.
This time last year, I would have been 100% on board the Randy Moss bandwagon. I, you know, like Tom said, you know, I like to take shots with guys with that kind of immense talent. My trouble now is, what Andy said, I'm not sure he's at that level anymore. And with a guy that's that fast, you know, he's been around 10 years now, 9 years, whatever. You can lose a little bit. And then he's never been known as a precise route runner, never been known as a guy to take the ball over the middle. He's always known for getting deep down the field on fly routes. Well, if he doesn't have that blinding speed anymore, maybe he's not open all the time anymore. And some of his effectiveness is really limited as a result. That's my fear would be with him, plus the fact that you have all the off-field stuff that Tom and Andy already talked about. So in addition to having that as a distraction, he may not be as good as he was.
Okay,
that's what would make me.
But to be fair,
I'd be
you
scared.
Can get him for a third round pick in a league where you're
well,
getting Wes Welker for a second.
But not only
it's
the,
a steal.
Not only the third round pick, but the money would scare me.
And there's money. there's also
if
the
you could get him to restructure his contract like Corey Dillon did when he came here, then I would take a shot.
But and Andy, this is what we were arguing upstairs. You compared him to Dillon. Here's my argument: Dillon never sniffed the playoffs in Cincinnati. Moss played 7 years in Minnesota, went to the playoffs 4 times, went to 2 NFC Championship games. So the theory that he's never won, that's kind of overblown. He did win in Minnesota, and he wasn't happy there. Him
right.
and Culpepper didn't get along. That's a fact. So that's the thing you got to wonder. And what Paul was saying about the deep balls, we don't really have the coaches like scout film.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Is he not getting open? Is Andrew Walter throwing
right.
it 10 seconds too late? See, that's
right.
the stuff Bill and Scott will have to
right,
figure
but
out.
That was last year, Andrew Walter. I mean, Kerry Collins is not a great quarterback, but he's not a stiff either.
Right.
You know, and that was the first year in Oakland. And
he had a decent year that year, didn't he?
But not great. Not like he did in Minnesota when he's, you know, putting up all kinds of scary numbers. Admittedly, again, in Minnesota, not with great quarterbacks.
Right.
They had a different quarterback all the time. I mean, clearly, he made the quarterback. I think we can all agree on that. From a pure talent perspective, there are very few guys in that league that have the raw ability that Randy Moss has. I don't think there's any disputing that.
And just to the thing about the attitude, the only thing I would say about that is I give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit because I think his perspective might have changed. You know, in Minnesota, he was the superstar, so egos were clashing. They were winning, but, you know, he's on top of the world, you know, kind of thing. Then all of a sudden you get to Oakland and say, wow, it really wasn't all that bad in Minnesota.
The place he wanted to go, though.
No, I know, but that's when he was on top. He was the cocky punk. Then he gets to Oakland, and everything sort of falls apart around him, and on the surface, I give people the benefit of the doubt there because, well, but beyond that, guys that are unhappy in Oakland, this isn't Cincinnati where, you know, you're nitpicking at this and that and they don't have enough scouts and this and that. They brought in an innkeeper to be the offensive coordinator. The place was a joke last year.
Now, I'm going to
still
listen.
Is.
Hey.
Still is.
Listen,
now they're bringing in a third assistant coach from some college team who's skinny and gets red.
But now you're just making things up, Andy. The guy was a mayor, too. I mean, he wasn't just
sorry, that's true.
I mean,
and it was a bed and breakfast.
Mayor of what? State Area RFD?
I mean, no, basically. I want to get Fred's take on this because, Fred, you would be the equivalent to Mr. Patriot fan. Or can we agree on this?
Maybe.
But
okay.
He can't let you know until Moss either gets here
no,
or doesn't.
No, I'm not talking
the problem.
About Moss, though.
Now
not,
you can get the accurate description
no,
of Daniel Graham because he's officially signed elsewhere.
I want to know about every year you tell us how smart the Patriots are because they lay back in the weeds. They want the smart. But this year they were the Redskins where they came out firing, which I'm all for. I agree with. Yep. So
here comes the spin from Fred.
Well, no, I want to know, as a Patriot fan, now we're going to hear how smart they were to do this, but they're always telling us, like last year, no, it's good to lay back and do nothing. And so
let the other teams overspend.
Right. What are your thoughts on this now?
I think as we've seen with the draft, and now we're seeing this, the Patriots don't have one set philosophy. They adapt to the environment like no one else does. And I think based on where the salary cap was, how much money they had to spend, and the makeup of their roster, I think, and the fact that Thomas is a guy that they really, mm-hmm. really wanted. I think all those things, it was like a perfect storm, and I think they did.
Hey, I think Andy said that.
Is that right?
That phrase has been thrown around here a lot.
No, I think all those things converged to make them say, hey, this is what we need to do this year. And I think, as we found, if you try to pigeonhole them that this is what they do, you're always going to be wrong. You know, so I just think that they adapt to whatever the situation is.
Good off seasons. I mean, it's you can't complain about really anything.
I'm
going
to
point
where they go 4-12.
Hey, well, that's the thing. You don't know. Dalen Thomas could stink.
And we all know they're not won in March. Championships are not won in March, and they're not won by signing one player.
Right.
So Patriots fans know that better than anybody. But so far, it looks pretty good.
So far,
I'm going to surprise you, Fred, because I actually think that was a very logical look at it. I agree. I'm not giving you kudos because I agree with you, but I'm surprising you because I agree with you because we never agree. The biggest thing I think that you said was the last point that you made, the makeup of the roster. Yeah. I think there's been, in my opinion, this is the second time they've been big-time players in free agency early. And the first time was in 2003, coming off the 2002 season. And I think we can all look at that team in 2002 had many holes to fill. Not surprisingly, that's the most aggressive they were in free agency with Colvin, Harrison, and Poole in the first week and a half of free agency. I think, in my opinion, the roster is in the worst shape right now that it's been since then. Mm. And not surprisingly, with all the money they had available, they were major players early in free agency.
So would you
and
guys,
I think it worked out for them.
One other aspect that Tom and I came back with the reaction from a combine. Draft's not that good
either. Yeah. I mean, it may be good three years down the road.
That's part of the perfect storm.
You're looking
thing.
For
that's
a starter
right.
at outside linebacker. You didn't have
but
one.
You didn't get
here's
one.
The point. Like, we were doing our mock draft, and they have the two first-round picks. We didn't have a clue. Like, after the first guy we gave them, like, what do we give them? I mean, so it's not like there's these guys that we're saying, well, they would be perfect fits here. And I think maybe they see that, too. Now they can do whatever. You can trade up and get the best player in the draft, Laron Landry, if you'd like, because he'd be a pro bowler from day one, 10 years here in New England if Belichick gets his hands on him. Or you can trade back, get another second-round pick, maybe get a first-rounder for next year if you think that drafts. So now they got total flexibility in the draft. They can do whatever they feel like. So would you guys agree that, because Harrison, some people did think he was kind of done when the Chargers let him go. Would you agree that Thomas is the biggest signing they've ever had here?
Well, yeah. The second biggest would be Colvin.
Colvin, right. Colvin, then Harrison, right?
Would that I think
no
Thomas
question.
Is the biggest.
This is the biggest by far. Blows Colvin out of the water.
He wasn't a pro bowler. Thomas is a two-time pro bowler, the perfect
this
fit.
Guy is a better player and made substantially more money. Now, part of the money thing is the natural progression. Of
I would just say flat out better player.
And if he
does more. Colvin was a
if he
pass
doesn't
rusher.
Take the if he doesn't like just if he's not one of those guys who signs the contract and gets all fat and happy, he could be just a wrecking crew.
No question.
With Belichick, you know, calling those plays for him all over the place. Yeah.
His age aside, because I think that's the only downside, is that he's not young. If he was 26, then I think this would be the greatest signing in clearly the history of the franchise and one of the best in football. The age is the one downside, but I think for a 2 or 3 year span, he should be phenomenal in this defense.
The only thing I would say on the negative, not even a negative side, but and I was glad that you didn't go here, but I've heard some people talk about this and I've seen some emails. This was not a plan by the Patriots last year. Okay, having the amount of cap space that they had this year was not a plan from last year.
No.
Okay, it wasn't foresight on the organization's part to look ahead and see where the CBA was going and to determine what the market was going to be like and what the draft was going to be like and to not spend all the money last year so they had more money this year. They tried to spend the money last year.
Well, they do that, though.
But they didn't. And they didn't not sign Deion Branch because they thought Adalius Thomas was available.
But they do look ahead.
Right.
But well, everybody
it was irrelevant.
Ahead.
Right. They tried to sign Deion Branch.
They tried to sign a lot of guys last year,
and they
most of which they weren't able to do.
Right.
And they pushed a bunch of bonuses, and they made the best of a bad situation. And then, again, that whole perfect storm thing,
it
worked. But it wasn't like this
major blueprint. Again, it's one guy. Adalius Thomas is the key aspect of this.
I think it's a great sign.
They didn't have seven other guys that were slotted that, you know what, we're going to get a great outside line. There was one guy. If you didn't get him, you were in trouble.
And there was
this wouldn't be a great offseason right now.
And let's face it, there was a little bit of fortune involved, too, because if Thomas was, quote-unquote, the typical kind of guy.
He would have been in the 49ers.
He's at least going to be making the rounds.
He
signed the first offer he got.
And Nolan said it flat out. If it was about money, I'd have just outbid him.
Right.
Because they had more money. They had all the money in the world.
Not want to go to the West Coast, and that was a good break for the Patriots, because if he was willing to sign on the dotted line for the highest bidder and make the rounds, he'd have been making the rounds. He signed the first offer he got.
Patriots type of player.
The Ravens could have tried to keep him. You didn't know at this time last year.
You're
going to
give Tom an aneurysm if you keep saying that.
No, he will if he does it with Welker, who apparently is Steve Tasker, according to Peter King, in the biggest display of a racist statement of all time.
I think he's Steve Tasker, but a better receiver.
Steve Tasker wasn't a returner.
He
covered punts.
He covered kicks.
Right.
And he only caught.
Do you know who Steve Tasker was? Vinny Papale.
Tasker made a very nice career.
But he's not covering
kicks.
That's just comparing two guys because they're white. Your comparison of Troy Brown is more accurate.
Steve Tasker was Kasim Osgood, guy from San Diego that made every tackle in the playoff game.
That was like Peter King was writing a story and just said, hey, throw out some random white guy they haven't used yet. Hey, Steve Tasker, all right.
I do think he's the perfect replacement.
Quincy
for
Morgan,
Troy
the
Brown.
White receiver.
Right. I don't think Troy Brown's going to come back this season.
I agree.
Unfortunately. We do get news. Kind of a someone who's close to Brewski that he is coming back.
Yeah,
happy about that.
Brewski said it on the record. Brewski said it on the record at a charity event
when he got that award for Make a Wish.
You can't get any closer than that.
Hey,
I
got it right from the
source.
Horse's mouth.
Oh, maybe he was having an out of body experience. But anyway, so Brewski's coming back. Should
Patriots
we be excited about that?
Why not?
They don't have anyone to replace him.
Otherwise, you'd have a hole in the middle of your defense.
It's better that he's coming back than that he
I'll tell you what, Fred.
Let me word that another way. With him coming back, does that alleviate the need to look at inside linebacker?
I was just going to say, if they had a young stud at inside linebacker ready to take over, I wouldn't be that thrilled that he's coming back because I think he's clearly not the same player he was a couple years ago. But look at their inside linebacker.
Right.
I mean, am I thrilled that Eric Alexander could come in there? No. So I'll take Brewski.
Teddy Brewski chasing a running back out of the backfield is better than playing with 10 guys or not having him there.
And it's just like with the Thomas signing doesn't eliminate linebacker as a need.
No, they're still all 30.
Well, that's a good one because a lot of our emailers are still wondering about what the Patriots should do in the draft, and we'll get to those emails.
Straight up.
Right after this, Gary.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tac sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers, mild and Hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, Fred, Andy, Paul, Tom, Gary, talking about all the stuff.
That's a new little ditty for us on PFW in progress. No, we don't usually have that one.
I like it.
What is it?
Mama Loves Mambo. You can just, isn't it Mama Loves Mambo?
Wow. Papa Loves Mambo.
Papa Loves Mambo?
Sorry. Papa.
By the way, did you watch American Idol last night?
Yeah, I was bored as always.
Oh.
It's kind of like I'll be in a minute when you guys keep talking.
I was going to stop watching after they had that Sangina guy in.
Well, now we know he's a woman because he actually is trying to look
he
like
Paula. Yeah, he has Paula Abdul's haircut.
And I don't understand their inside jokes. Are they openly making fun of Ryan Seacrest for being gay?
Yes.
Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
I think they are.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And Simon hates it when Ryan puts it back to him because Ryan, because Simon knows he's not gay and the other guy, so he doesn't like it when he does that. Anyway.
Well, a couple other big signings in the AFC East. The Bills have no idea what they're doing, so we won't even talk about
that. No, they re-signed Chris Kelce. You're out of your mind. Why are you being so negative?
Plus, they signed the first free agent. They were on the ball. Right. They got it done early. First.
Forgot the guy's name. Whittle. He held out. $40,000 signing bonus. You make the call. I mean, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. By the way, that his agent needs to be fired on the like Andy said, he couldn't make it $50,000, $40,000. But the Bears, for some reason, traded Thomas Jones to the Jets for a sack of peanuts and exchanging second round picks, which has to be one of the worst trades of all time.
Why did they do that?
A third round pick. I did the math. The value based on the value trade chart, it's like the third, fourth, fifth, top of the third round is essentially what
that was a steal. And I mean, you can't even talk about the steal that was, because I heard Patriot fans are already saying that his age, he didn't carry the ball for 5 years in the NFL, so he has no wear and tear on him. Plus, he's one of those backs who doesn't get hit hard anyway. Great pickup for the Jets, and I know we kind of disagree on this one. The Dolphins signed Joey Porter, which I think is a phenomenal signing.
I think it's a very good signing.
Don't love it. A lot of money for a guy who I think's on the down.
He was on the down until you lined him up against with Jason Taylor and Zach Thomas, and I think that linebacking core.
And I thought he played well last year. I agree with you. The only thing that you know, until Miami solves its quarterback problem, and evidently there's a possibility that they could do that with Trent Green, who I think would be certainly a serviceable enough quarterback.
Has that trade happened?
No, but it's out there. It's being rumored. Who knows? Who knows if it ends up happening?
That's an interesting. If
you get Trent Green on
a
team like that, he's a more than serviceable guy.
But they got rid of McMichael, who's one of their better receivers.
Something's going
but you still
on
have
there.
Chambers and Booker, as far as I know, anyway. Yeah. Those guys aren't free agents, right?
No, they're still there.
Chambers, I think, is excellent. You talk about a good quarterback. You talk about this Wes Welker nonsense. If you had a good quarterback and you had Chris Chambers, you put him with Tom Brady and he becomes an all-pro.
Right. And the thing about the Dolphins was last year they were kind of everybody's darling. Everyone was picking them to go to the Super Bowl. Now everyone's kind of forgotten about them. You know, well, they're rebuilding. Now,
they have a new coach.
Granted, we don't know what Cam Cameron brings to the table. But if you look talent-wise, they're kind of like that wild card who maybe you don't think about him much at the beginning of the season but could sneak up on you.
Yeah.
You know, the Jets are supposed to be the number one competition for the Patriots, but Andy thinks he'll take a step back this year.
I think so, too.
Although, if I look at it, I don't really know
who
is the number one.
But interesting, though, rumor is they're after Detroit's number two pick in the draft, and it's for Calvin Johnson.
The Jets are?
The Jets. Now, if they, and Andy says, well, they don't have a quarterback. I got news for you. Your quarterback looks a lot better when you're throwing to Calvin Johnson.
Talking yards after catch there.
So that'll be interesting.
So
AFC East, very interesting. A lot of moving around. I mean, the Bills signing those two offensive linemen. I mean, getting rid of everybody else. They're
losing Nate Clements and London Fletcher, but holding on to Chris Kelce.
You gotta, and thinking about trading to Keel Spikes.
Right.
You got to love the Bills. Here they are.
And McGahee.
They finally start making steps last year, thinking, okay, well, maybe we do have our quarterback.
Right.
The guy played well down the stretch. So instead of, well, let's bring everything together, they blow it all up.
Well, they're
up.
Lightening their load for when they move to Toronto.
And
they
when
don't
they
want to have heavy
and when
bags.
They go back to having a real NFL schedule this year, they will not be going 7-9.
Right. They'll be going 4-12.
Right. Because they're a 4-12 talent team.
All right. So anything else NFL-wise before we get to the you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's been a very, very active.
You know, Denver, very active. I think the Travis Henry signing, I think we all agree on that, was a great signing.
Of course, they signed
Graham. And who else? They signed someone else.
Graham overpaid.
Well, they traded Dre Bly.
Dre Bly, but apparently now he might be going to Washington for Sean Springs. And the rumor is Denver wants to move up in the draft to get Okoye, tackle.
If Jay Cutler.
And they got Dan Wilkinson.
Yes, Dan Wilkinson.
If Jay Cutler is as good as they think he is, or reasonably close, they become a player.
I'm already on the record. AFC title game, Denver and New England.
Huh.
Book it.
Was Graham overpaid?
Of course.
I think this year, I usually bristle at that term, but I think this year the money is just so crazy. I think a lot of these guys are getting overpaid.
Leonard Davis got a $20 million signing bonus.
I mean,
story.
If I haven't seen one lineman get $49 million, I've seen seven of them.
I mean,
offensive guy. Some largely Derek Dockery. I don't even know who that is.
He's a decent player.
Largely anonymous offensive lineman getting 7-year contracts of $49 million.
Well,
that's what Ty Law got.
That's what I don't get is that the bottom end is overpaid, but then the top end, it's like the top 25% all make the same. Like I thought Nate Clements and Adalius Thomas are clearly elite type players, but they're getting the same kind of money as
everyone
all these other guys. It's like there's a ceiling where there's only so much these teams can do.
I forget all the details now of the Clements contract, but not that.
It's basically seven years,
not
$67
that bad.
Million.
Yeah, not that. I mean, everybody was like, oh, there's no way he'll see all of that. He's going to see a lot of it.
The final year is a
pretty
fraudulent
good for him.
$14 million a year or something, just to make it a nice 8-80.
But he has guarantees reasonably. They were certainly on line with Thomas got.
Yeah, well, but the only thing that makes it really a fraudulent contract is it's literally impossible to achieve, basically.
Right.
He gets a bonus next March that voids that final year. So it's, you know what I mean? He can't not get the bonus because of the signing bonus he got. And once he gets the bonus, it removes $14 million from the end of the deal.
Right. But I'm just saying, in terms, you know,
it's one of those puff my chest, I'm a great agent,
but
I get $80 million.
But everybody was criticizing him for being stupid to sign such a fraudulent contract. Well, it's not a fraudulent contract.
Oh, no.
He's going to get a lot of money.
He's
guaranteed.
Getting his Champ Bailey type money.
Yes.
He's getting high end money.
All
but
right.
That's what I think is funny is there seems to be a natural ceiling on these deals.
What's the matter, Fred?
We have someone on the phone.
Oh, okay.
Phil in Austin's on the phone. Phil, how you doing?
Hey, Fred.
Yeah.
You guys sound like a bunch of kids at Christmas morning here.
We're very excited. This is good stuff.
Well, all of Patriots Nation is excited, too, I bet.
Fred's very happy with the Broncos moves. He's a big Broncos guy.
Hey, talking about those guard signings, one move that kind of went under the radar, I think, is when the Patriots signed Billy Yates a couple weeks ago to a 3-year contract.
Yeah, it certainly went under the radar.
Yeah. We were saying if that's the only move that the Patriots make, we're happy.
Well, I mean, they got him for nothing, and seeing what the money they're throwing around to, you know, kind of average guards, he probably could have got a lot better.
No offense, those players are much better than Billy Yates. They
well,
really are. I
plus
mean,
they
we're talking
the
about
league.
Leonard Davis being a bust. That's because he was drafted like fourth in the draft.
Are you serious about that?
But Billy Yates couldn't hold his jock. I mean,
yeah,
let's be honest.
Yeah, not now, but maybe a year from now. I think it was a pretty astute signing on the Patriots' part.
Oh, sure. Larry Izzo re-signed yesterday.
What? I mean, I just don't. Well, I don't know. Billy Yates, third string guard, astute. I don't know. Let's talk Adalis Thomas. Great signing.
It was a great set. Let's talk Richard Seymour, though. If he had not redone his contract, you know, he'd be in line for probably as much or more money than Thomas or Clements or any of those
guys.
Well,
it's a good point that you bring up, and the question is, will a lot of these guys that are under contract now that look at themselves as much better than these guys now, will they be looking for adjustments, and will we be seeing more holdouts?
I don't think so. A guy like Richard Seymour, no, because I think he got a great contract in any market, on any level. The guys are some of, you know, a Teddy Bruschi type who really did take low-type money, and now you see these other guys coming in to do the same role at 2, 3, 4 times the pay.
Yeah, Seymour got the guaranteed, basically. Virtually his entire contract is guaranteed. Yeah.
Right.
So I think he's happy with the 30 or so million he's
going to take
home.
But the example of guys...
A Bruschi guy, yeah. I think Andy's example is dead on, and he claims that he's fine with it.
They'll just cut him.
Or another guy is Dan Copen, a guy they got done early who... Based on all these offensive line
jobs.
That's
Dan Copen's fault.
Dan Copen would have been double-figure bonus money and a big deal.
And what did Andre Girard get?
Was it 15, 16 million?
So he got more than
double.
Copen. So there's a guy that...
That's Copen's fault.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't blame
the Patriots for that. Great move by the Patriots. But I think it is Copen's fault in this situation because he was close enough to free agency where that security... You know, that's why you would sign before you get to free agency is security. You could get hurt. Well, he was close enough that he could have waited it out.
Well, I won't say fault, though, just because
he
might
wanted
be fine. To be here.
He might be
you know
fine
I mean?
With it.
He,
yeah.
If that's, he might
if
be
now,
fine.
Now, if he starts complaining,
right.
then
that's what I'm talking
it's his
about.
Fault.
If he's fine with it, then there's no issue here. There's nothing to talk about.
Phil, anything else?
Yeah. Trading up to number 9 to get Laron Landry. I'm wondering if you guys think that... Given that 7th pick to Miami was part of that whole deal, not officially, but that's one of the teams that they might want to trade up with to get Laron Landry.
I like the way you think.
That's good thinking.
I like the way you're thinking.
What I would do, this is what I would do. I would pull a Mike Ditka. I'd show up to the draft room with a cigar. I'd trade all my picks. Get up, take Laron Landry, light the cigar, and go home. Play golf. Gone golfing. Because
you like him that much.
The guy PFW is right behind him.
Second best player in the draft behind Calvin Johnson.
He has the chance to be that, Fred.
And if Belichick gets him, forget about it. If Belichick, I mean, you're saying that projected out if he goes anywhere. So if he comes to the Patriots, you can forget about it. The guy will be in the Pro Bowl.
So can you guys explain to me again the Miami thing? I understand where Miami's picking, but how does the trade? How does the Welker thing?
Yeah, wink, nod. This is part of the deal we're going to get done to move up in the draft. Too.
Well,
my theory is, I guess they want to poison the well with Miami by getting into some dispute with them over the Welker contract.
Oh, okay,
And
I see what you're
saying. Because they're sitting there at number 9.
Yeah,
if you
the goodwill crap.
Yeah, wink, nod, and we'll be talking again in a week or so. And
I don't think that in that AFC East deal would get made. I don't think the Dolphins would.
I don't know. Cam
Patriots
Cameron is a
much.
Very nice man.
Yeah, Cam Cameron
is
a different breed.
Well,
they just made the trade.
I think the Patriots forced Miami into a corner on that one.
How so? Let them go. You're getting a second round pick either way.
Now you get a second and a 7th.
Oh yeah, geez, that's great.
It's better.
Really backed him into a corner there. They held him.
Is it better than a second?
But is it better to make the Patriots pay him $38 million instead of $18 million?
They didn't back him into any corner.
No, I think they did. That's
no,
why.
They didn't.
That's why they made the trade, Paul.
Watch
they
the
made
game,
the trade
Paul.
Because they didn't value the guy as much
because
as you value the guy.
Because they knew they weren't going to match what the Patriots were offering.
Right. So they're going to lose him anyway.
But what the Patriots were offering wasn't really what they were willing to pay.
It was a
bluff.
Please. I don't understand what's going on in your brain. Where's the bluff? Who cares?
That's why
they're going to lose him anyway. I don't understand the corner you think they backed him into.
Why do you think they were going to lose him anyway?
Because they weren't going to match the offer.
What offer?
Whatever offer they made.
The bluff offer, Paul.
Whatever offer they made.
That's not true.
If they really valued him, they wouldn't have given him the second lowest tender if they valued him that much.
You mean the second highest?
No, the second lowest. There's 4 tenders. They gave him the second lowest.
Okay, so they got the second round tender.
Yes, there's 2 higher than that. If they valued him all that much, they would have given him one of those.
Well, they would. They didn't value him as much as that offer that was floated out there. That's clear. That's why
they didn't value him for the contract the Patriots gave him either.
I don't know that
they would have given him.
It would be a long year with
200,000 more.
Well,
the difference between a first round thing was 200,000.
I think it was a brilliant move by the
Patriots.
Of course
you do.
And the way they used Adam Schefter in it was brilliant. a brilliant use of the media.
He's Bill Thomas.
Brilliant use of the media now.
It was. It was. Where do you think that figure that Schefter floated out there came from?
You.
Maybe you did.
You beat me to it. I couldn't get it out quick enough. I also think you're the guy on Pro Football Talk a lot when he says league sore. I think it's you.
No. I don't even know his email address. But, no, I think it was a great move by the Patriots. You know? Anyway.
Well, they've certainly been
Craig.
Active. I'd rather see him be active. Is that Phil?
Yeah.
He's still on the phone.
Good, nice talking to you guys.
All right, Phil. All right, that's Phil from Austin. We should get to some emails, huh?
Yeah.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com.
The moves.
Well, we know this is going to go all year. You hate Wes Welker and everything he's about. Fred loves Wes Welker and everything he's about.
Can we on your list?
Can we? Absolutely.
No question.
Come on.
Wes Welker.
Can we take my personal feelings of the player? Let's just call him another player. Explain to me where the Patriots held up Miami in this situation.
I don't know.
Forget the player. Let's just say, for argument's sake, they got Paul Warfield in his prime. He's a great player. It has nothing to do with the caliber of player. The Dolphins were going to lose the player for a second-round pick. Now they lost him for a second and seventh, and somehow they held the Dolphins up. I don't understand that. That's the part I don't get.
Don't look at me. I didn't say
that. They weren't going to have the player back regardless. There was no scenario in which the Dolphins were going to retain the player.
So why would the Patriots do that?
I think that part of it was what these guys are saying. Rather than get involved with a poison pill kind of a deal where they're going to have to get contentious, they just...
Reports are Mr. Kraft stepped in, was involved.
They didn't want to get
into
a situation.
There was an ownership level coming in and sort of getting involved with a trade.
And I don't want you to spin this around. I don't think the Patriots did anything wrong. I think the Patriots targeted the player and they went and got him. I think that's fine. I think it's a great move for the Patriots because they valued the player and they got the player.
Brilliant
move. So I don't want you to turn this around saying anything but Patriots.com like you always do. Okay,
Tom and I are on board today, Fred. It's just Paul.
I just don't understand.
Patriots.
I don't understand the part about the Patriots holding up Miami in the state. They bluffed them.
There was a reason why that
they didn't want the guy and they let him go.
There was a reason why that. Remember when that number was floated on Friday? We were like, "What? There's no way the Patriots are going to play. Why would they even think about paying Wes Welker all that money?" Well, apparently they weren't going to, and they never intended to. That was floated out there to get these guys.
Are you saying this off the top of your head, or are you saying this with knowledge? Because there's a difference.
I think, no, off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, I don't understand where they bluffed the Miami.
Just so you know, I said, why would they ever send a second-round pick for Wes Welker? And they did. So
again.
We all have different views of the player.
That number was outrageous.
I'm trying to take my views of the player out of it. I'm looking at the facts as they presented.
All right.
What's
the Dante Stallworth thing? Because that's out there everywhere.
I don't
6 years, $32 million. Why is that
crazy.
Out there?
I don't know.
When they sign him tomorrow for 3 years and $11 million, it would be another bluff. I just don't understand that.
Well, is he a restricted free agent?
No, but okay. I don't see where they benefited from having a large number floated out there.
For all I know with Stallworth, his agent's floating. That's just to keep the prices up for the other teams.
But, Fred, your point is this.
Drew Rosenhaus, no question.
A seventh-round pick is worth squat, okay? So you're saying that for the value of a seventh-round pick, Miami said, well, they're going to offer him a $38 million contract. There's no way we're going to match that. We're not going to make the Patriots offer him that so they have to pay him. We're going to try to get a seventh-round pick instead. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it doesn't make any sense to float out that number.
Why do you think they floated it out? Why do you think that's not what their restricted free agent offer sheet was going to be?
Oh, I can't believe that they would pay him that much money, Paul. Do you?
I can't believe they paid him what they paid him. This is not about what I believe they should have paid him. I think he's overpaid now.
They paid him half of what that figure was floated.
Well, for less years, too.
Even per year and guarantee and everything.
Well, plus, they renegotiate. Isn't that what happened with Curtis Martin? They did
the
1 year
thing. You can't do that anymore, though.
Oh, you can't?
Oh. That's the poison pill that they outlawed.
I know, and that's the other thing. I was reading some columns that the poison pill goes back to Steve Hutchinson in the Seahawks. No, it doesn't.
No, that's a recent example.
Right.
The NFL chastised the two teams for that. That's why it's...
Right, but the poison pill started long before that.
Plus, is the games played thing just in the regular season? Because I was thinking, what happens if you play? Because it was four games, right? Supposedly that they were going to include in it if he played four games, and it's kind of close. Why'd you make it four?
Hutchinson?
No, for Welker. Supposedly they were going to put four games in the state of Florida played would do something to the contract.
I'm sure they were smart enough to figure that out.
Why do you stay at four? Why not go 16, something you're sure that can't happen?
But let's go back to LeRon Landry for a second. Let's suppose that they won't let some crazy bastard like me into the draft room with a cigar and let them trade the whole draft. Andy, you did the math. How far can they get by trading their two first-round? They can get to number eight.
The two first-round picks, according to the draft value chart, get you to eight.
So if the Patriots wanted to trade up and trade their two first-round picks, they could get up as far as eight. So that's where they would
be. Would you do that for Willis, this linebacker?
I wouldn't go up to eight for him.
No.
I'd go up for Landry. I'd go up to the 15.
Eight.
But Landry's so good. Why is he going to be at eight? Wouldn't he be in the top five?
Well, because he's a safety, Fred. There's, you know, quarterbacks.
You're talking about two quarterbacks, a receiver.
Well, yeah, but he probably won't.
Need.
He's
Alvin Johnson, Brady.
He's considered
Quinn,
one of the six or seven
Russell.
Blue chips in this draft.
Adrian and Peterson, there are a number of each. There's one guy per position except quarterback.
For example, Fred, Brady Quinn may not be considered one of those six or seven blue chips, and he may get taken in the
top
seven. Right,
because he's a quarterback.
What's the highest a safety's ever gotten taken? Williams went eight. Roy Williams, I mean, that was really high for a safety.
Sean Taylor was five, right?
Yeah, Sean Taylor was way
So that's
there.
About the, five as high as you get, is like right in that area.
Yeah.
But I'd go up to like 15. What would you go, Andy? 15, 18 range for Willis, maybe?
That's where
could.
I'd like to take him, but the problem is, to me, I think Landry is going to go right around 8, 9, somewhere in there. Willis, I don't know where he's going to go.
If Willis is still
11,
on the board
13,
at like,
15.
Let's just say we get to 15, 16, and Willis is still on
I
the board.
I trade in a heartbeat.
I think the Patriots are furiously working the lines.
I agree
to get
with
up.
You. I agree.
So that's definitely, Willis more so than Landry is one I think that has to definitively be done when it's as the draft
as
is unfolding.
Going.
You know, Landry, based on how you get a feel for, oh, this team needs Peterson, this team's taking Johnson, the two quarterbacks.
Peterson.
It seems
Landry
like the top
is
five
gonna
is
be
falling
a little,
into place pretty
Yeah,
good.
So Landry is going to be available in the 5 to 10 range,
right.
6 to 9, somewhere in there. Willis, I think
you
he's a
know.
Wild card.
He could come to 24.
I hear
you
he's a riser,
know.
But then you see other people say, I don't know, he might be available in late after the first round. So you might be able to stay put
he's
at 24.
He's an inside
again.
Linebacker.
Right.
Those guys, I mean, I see a lot of people have him going 11 to San Francisco. That's kind of high for an inside
11
linebacker.
11 to San Francisco, then 13
to the
Rams is another popular choice. But if he gets by there, now maybe you are going to get
right.
Yeah, Hawk last year was a big-time exception to that rule. Inside linebackers don't generally get taken in the first half of the first round.
Except when... What was it, Vilma and did Vilma and DJ Williams go back to back or very close to
Wasn't
each other?
Wasn't Williams down around 19?
He was in the teens.
Vilma was 12.
Vilma was 12. I thought Williams was close to him, but he's a guy.
I thought DJ Williams was 19. I'll look that up. Too.
And he's involved apparently in the rumors that he could be shipped to Detroit,
to Detroit
as part of
for the number
the
two
trade pick.
So lots
going
stuff,
on.
A lot of
Love
stuff
it.
Going
let's
on.
Get it. Let's get to some emails. Logan writes in from Boxborough. He says, "Now that the Patriots have signed Thomas, the linebacker situation in the short term." Is obviously much improved. I still think we should use some high picks to draft the linebackers of the future.
Word.
But you guys have said that this year's prospects, especially linebacker, are very thin. Do you think the Pats should still use high picks on linebackers, and do you think they will?
Well, that's
yes,
not,
Willis.
That's not necessarily correct. It's more of the outside guys that we were hearing at the Combine, because Mayock and a lot of other people there thought they were just 4-3 down linemen. They didn't have the coverage skills and the versatility that some of the DeMarcus Wares have had in the past. Inside linebacker is actually pretty deep. Mm-hmm. It's pretty deep. Last year it was not. This year it was pretty
especially
deep.
Especially if you include 3-4-4-3.
Like John Beeson and those guys.
There's a bunch of the runaround Tampa 2 middle linebackers that are considered to be pretty good. Just
so.
Wouldn't really fit here.
Okay.
17th, by the way, DJ Williams.
Ravi writes in from Indy. All, many restricted free agents, such as Welker, have a draft pick compensation if another team signs him, in his case a second rounder. If a team such as the Patriots is picking 28th in the second round, could they trade that pick to the Bucs for the Buccaneers' 32nd pick in the second round and a sixth-round pick or something? When they get Welker, they would have a – well, this is
I lost
past
him.
Tense. Forget it. Sorry, Ravi. But anyway,
Fred, you got to get up to date there. You can't be reading everyone that was
well,
sent
Well, first
in.
Of all, you can't trade compensatory picks.
But that wasn't
and you would
question.
Never have one. We asked that later.
Oh,
well, let me just say, Fred, you know, what you might want to do in the future is read the emails a little bit so you have an idea of what are being talked about.
Karthik writes in, what a great field day. Now that we hear from Tom Casale and Andy Hart that the draft class is not that great, it makes perfect sense when we see the Pats aggressive in free agent signings and have already filled in their linebacker, tight end, running back, and wide receiver punt returner. Two things I want to know. One, is there a good left tackle that we might pick up in one of our first picks? I read that this draft is pretty good on offensive linemen, though we have our offensive linemen sign up long term. Yet do you think we may need a few guys to open holes for Maroney?
Well,
what do you think about that?
Let's just clarify first. We were told at the Combine that this isn't a particularly strong
draft.
But
they say that every year.
No, they don't. Can we speak? Can we clarify this?
Go ahead.
We were told that, like, we're not talking about the entire draft. First round prospects. Like, you have Calvin Johnson. Then there's no really clear number two guy. You kind of have Lynch and Peterson at running back. Then it's just all a bunch of, you know, jumbled guys together. So what they were saying is there's a couple of top-heavy guys, but then the opinions are scattered all across the board. That's what we mean by not very strong.
Okay.
Like, you're not going 15 to 20 deep where
right.
these guys are great player type drafts.
Strong so, middle class.
Yes, strong. So
that's
I
why
think
we said you could get good value in third, fourth,
second,
round.
Third, fourth round guys are going to be good this year.
Because if you pick the right one, if you can differentiate between the guy who's, you know, sixth on the list and the guy who's eighth, and pick the right one, I think you get a pretty good player there.
One thing though is don't ever listen to these scouts when they tell you, "Oh, the draft isn't that good this year," because they're all saying that because they're covering their butts.
All right.
Two, what is the probability to sign Samuel long-term after all these signings? Personally, I like Samuel, but Pats might think to pick up a guy in the draft in the first round and make him a backup to study under Samuel. Having said that, will Samuel play for the year? If he holds out, we might get real issues.
Well, I think that they have a very good chance of signing him long-term soon. Sooner rather than
anything
later.
Anything that you know?
No,
all just
no,
turned
no.
into Fred all of a sudden.
No,
just
no,
throwing
I
stuff
just,
out there that he heard.
I just think that the way that these kind of pins are falling into place so fast that they have some things in mind. And, you know, I don't know what it'll take, but I know they still have a ton of money, and I think they're trying to get this and this set up, and then they want to get to – I just think it makes sense. No, and no one's told – I haven't talked to anybody in the organization about that. Whatsoever.
Would you sign Samuel for the money that Nate Clements just got?
No.
No.
That's what he's going to want, right? Or
well,
close
would,
to it?
What I would have signed Nate Clements for that money, so
well,
I can't.
But I'm saying, if you're his agent, aren't you demanding
yeah,
something
sure.
near
no
there?
No question.
Probably. Yeah.
But I still think they need a cornerback. And we got our film in. I know Andy hasn't seen it yet, but Chris Houston from Arkansas, phenomenal. Looked phenomenal on TV.
I really liked Arkansas as a team last year, even though they didn't win you know, as many games as I thought they should have.
A lot of athletes.
I thought they had a lot of individual talent.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised even if Paul's right and they do sign Samuel. They still.
Oh, I'd be surprised if Paul's right.
but it's still a need. I agree with you.
Because you're looking at Chad Scott and Ray Mickens. I mean, how long can you depend on them when the Colts spread you out? You know, get that another young, good corner in
there. Oh, don't forget about Randall Gay.
And oh, yeah, well, we all know what I think about him. So.
Well, depending on how this Stallworth thing plays out, whether he is going to sign here or isn't going to sign here, whatever, I think secondary then becomes the biggest need.
Yeah.
You know, whether, because you might be looking for a guy that you need to contribute. In a perfect world, linebacker, you have four guys.
But funny, you argued something different in the paper, but go ahead.
Well, things change on a daily basis. No, I argued it. I don't know what I argued in the paper.
I think it might be time to eliminate point counterpoint, Fred. We're starting to become frauds of
if
a
you
major
look at,
proportion.
I mean, you might need somebody to contribute right away, whether it's a Landry type at safety, a cornerback slash safety, the third corner, because right now you have. The two corners are probably set, mm-hmm. unless Samuel decides right. not to show up. But at safety, Rodney Harrison, maybe for the first part of the season, who knows? Is James Sanders taking the next step? Is he
not?
A
lot of question marks.
There's a lot of questions at safety, and then the nickel cornerback position. You know, you might not have Troy Brown anymore, but Fred right. thinks you'll just put Wes Welker out there, and he'll be fine. But I think
it'll
that becomes the biggest immediate need if Stallworth comes in at receiver. Because now you've added a couple receivers to the mix, have a couple guys back. I'd be looking, you know, Reggie Nelson is a guy we mm-hmm. stock is rising, stock is falling. He's a guy who might be available
at
24.
He can play here if he wants.
All right. Let's see. Josh in Jacksonville says, B-Lo broke is the question. I was wondering if B-Lo is now broke because he had to pay Rich Eisen money for the 10 seconds interview for Patriots for PVN. I'm very surprised that someone of Eisen's stature would speak to B-Lo, and also, was that the pretty much only video he did from the Combine,
yep.
just to show that he went there?
Basically.
Sorry, I just want to poke fun at him a little.
This is pretty much
also,
the worst
I really like
made.
The pickup of Thomas. I think he'll bring a lot of veteran leadership to the team. Sorry, Teddy, you just lost your job. Not really. I also think he'll be a huge impact. On paper, this team is starting to look really good. Great pickup, Belichick. Hope you guys feel the same way. Well, we do.
Yep.
Except for the part, Bruschi losing his job.
He means as a leader.
Yeah, I think as a leader was the implication there.
Well, I don't. I mean,
no, I don't think.
I don't
so.
Think he loses his job as a leader either.
I think they're all.
I'll tell you what. If he loses that job,
what's he going to do? Yeah. You know, thanks for the great service, Teddy. Yeah. But if you're not a leader anymore, I think he's just a leader.
I think he'll come back strong this year.
Why?
Really?
Why is he suddenly going
to
be better?
I'm surprised to hear you say that.
Because he's a mentally strong guy. And I'm not saying he's going to...
I thought maybe he meant because Sammy Morris is on the team.
I'm not saying he'll have the production he had, you know, 2-3 years ago. But I think he'll be he'll play very well this year.
Better than last year. He's going to have a better year this year.
As good as last year.
You just said better, didn't you say?
You said very well.
Very well.
Then you said as good as last year.
And you threw the word strong a couple of times.
Two different things.
He led the team in tackles, right?
He did.
Okay.
I'll take that. I'll take that production from him.
I'm just saying. You said two different things. You said as well as last year, and he'll play well.
If he takes another step back, that's the problem. Yeah. He took a partial step back. If he takes another one, at what point does he become a detriment to the defense?
And hence the young linebacker to back him up.
Hence Patrick Willis. So you can rotate.
Step back.
Right.
Well, by game 10, that's what I want. Have a young guy ready to come in and play a little bit.
Patrick Willis comes in, plays next to Brewski. Vrabel moves outside. Colvin comes off. They do the whole rotation thing again.
Here's something I was thinking about. The opinion of most people is that Mike Vrabel is a much better outside backer than he is an inside backer, and only played inside backer.
This is something that's sticking in my mind as well.
I'm wondering if now in his career he might be a little bit more useful and better as an inside backer for the Patriots.
I misspoke.
Okay.
It's been in my mind of
here
why.
We go. Round three.
No. It's been in my mind as to why they're so content to leave him inside and not get him back outside. And you know, certainly I think you still need badly – two more inside guys to get the thing that Andy was talking about with the rotations. Because I think if you have Thomas, Colvin, Vrabel outside and Brewski, Willis, fill in the blank inside, now I think you're legitimately scary again.
Let me throw this out there. What did I bring up many, many times that Mike Vrabel sucked at last year?
Tackling.
What kind of tackling?
Open field.
Yeah. Where's there more open field?
On the outside.
Oh, hey now.
That's what I'm saying.
But I think that his.
I like it, Fred.
I think
there's a possibility.
I think his.
You're right.
I think his
funny.
Value
I
is
he sucked in the middle of the field.
Yeah. See, I agree with Tom. I thought.
See, I don't. I think if
I don't
you can't
think he
tackle
fared well inside.
I think if you can't tackle, you're less dangerous inside. Things are more zoned in. You got your gaps in front of you. When you're out on the edge, you can look really bad, and you can give up a lot of big plays.
All I'm saying is that I'm not just ready to just jump in with both feet. Oh, he has to play in the outside.
Well, I just
but
think
his skills
outside.
Lend himself.
He doesn't have.
I think it's the
I think
skill
he's a
level.
Playmaker on the outside. I don't think he
if
had
he
a great
stinks
year
now,
last year.
He stinks inside or outside.
Right.
If he just lost it and isn't that good anymore, he's just not that good anymore.
That's kind of my feelings, and I think he's more effective off the edge rushing the passer and making. I don't think he had a great year. I think Andy makes a lot of valid points about. I don't think he had a great year last year. He's had years where he's been more active and made more plays than he did in 06, but I don't see him in the latter part of 05 and in the time that he spent there last year, he is virtually invisible to me inside, and I don't think that's that's his
and
strong
you guys,
point.
You guys have seen him a lot longer than I have, but to me, he just doesn't look like a very good middle linebacker.
Well, he's not prototypical size type guy.
Size, no. He doesn't have the instincts, no. I don't think. I think he's missing all of it.
I mean, like we're talking about Patrick Willis. You watch Patrick Willis play and you watch Vrabel play, and we're talking about two different animals here. We're talking about a guy who's quick to the ball. You know, that's not Vrabel's game right
but
now.
Some of that's up top and not just in the body. Some of that's just he's
football
trying to
instincts.
Digest the play, whereas Willis sees it, boom, sees the guard and knows exactly
knows
what's
right.
happening, and he knows where he needs to be. I think Vrabel has admitted he's not a natural inside linebacker.
Right.
He's never – his mind doesn't work quick enough because he's always been on the edge of the formation.
So now you're arguing with yourself?
Why?
Didn't you just say you thought he should go inside?
Well,
no.
Skill-wise.
If he's lost a step physically and can't make plays in the open field, I think you can cover that up easier in the middle of the field than you can on the edge, where if a guy gets the corner – and makes you look bad on that edge, he's going down the sideline for a 25-yard touchdown.
We've been talking about this a little bit. Any chance that Colvin is the odd man out in this whole system?
Well, if they get another inside linebacker, I think absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I think they would rotate. I think that would be their ideal thing, and you'd see all of them on the field on third down. You'd see Thomas coming down playing nose and Vrabel and Colvin on the edge, and all you know, they'd have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
But – you know, right now I don't think they have that rotation.
Steve DiAsi brought up something yesterday that was kind of interesting in talking about
Thomas. Is he
name-dropping
over there? I mean, wow.
He said that, well, I used him as an example only because
You know, I talked to Mike Mayock at the Combine. Well,
only because he played, and he just said that.
I talked to Donnie Richmond the other day.
You'd have to figure that Thomas will play the right side and Colvin will go over to the left. Because you want to get Thomas on the on the weak side for his pass rushing, prowess. And my immediate thought, he said all that, but my immediate thought was, geez, if Colvin is not considered a pass rusher, what is he? Is he considered? Do you know what I'm saying?
In my mind, I would think Thomas would be on the left.
That's how I was feeling about it.
Thomas is a bigger guy to play
set
the run.
And I know
the
that he's
there.
Got the reputation of not being great at that. But
right.
I look at it as if Colvin isn't considered a pass rusher, what is he considered to
be? Plus he has no interest
well.
In making plays.
No
at
interest
the line
in doing
scrimmage.
Anything but rushing after the passer. No interest.
They don't write down 50-yard tackles for a loss, only 1-yard quarterback sacks.
And I'm using his words. I'm not even taking a shot at him. That's what he said.
I would think that's a little different. I guess it'll be interesting to see where they come
out.
That's
a good problem to have. You know, we went from, oh, my God, look at how thin the linebackers are, to potentially having some pretty good depth there.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well,
depends on what they do in the draft.
Right. I think they're very thin right now. They're an injury away from your scrambling again. Alexander's on the field Jr. Sayow. Or
still only have four guys, and one of those is playing out of position.
We're getting
in my mind.
Better. We're getting better.
Sawyer Willis.
Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa. First off, I think I made Andy cry last week. It was just a joke, Andy. You know you make the show. If you weren't around, there would have never been, quote, it went in as a hot dog and came out orange fire water. That is the funniest soundbite this immature guy has ever heard. Second.
Why did I cry? I
forgot. It went in as a hot dog and came out as orange fire water.
Great. Second, Adalys Thomas. Tom, can you do one thing for us? Say the words, you can say bye-bye to Landry at 24 and Willis at 28, because last time you said that, we ended up with Thomas. That is not a knock on you, Tom. Nobody thought that was going to happen. That is why I have been walking around the house this weekend saying, holy crap, we got Adalys Thomas.
Holy crap.
Now, I might have said say bye-bye to him because he's going to get a $20 million signing bonus, because I didn't think the Patriots would go that high. And that's why I said at the beginning of the show I was surprised when they signed him.
Third, is this the making of a last run for Belichick?
Ooh, that's an interesting theory.
What do you think, Fred?
Rumors out of New York.
Good news out of New York today.
You know, I don't think so.
There's a surprise.
Fred, did you know that he incorporated himself?
Is that right?
Bill Belichick, Inc.
I've been thinking about doing
that. Was filed in December. It's a, in quote,
I gotta talk to him about that.
Entertainment, endorsement, and something else company.
Really?
Yes.
Boring.
An article in the Sports Business Journal.
That's very interesting.
Andy, I'm going to do it. You know,
it lends to my theory of
bald old guys.
Parcells teaming up and doing things after life after football.
Parcells lives in New York.
Except he was at the Red Sox game yesterday and knew nothing about Dante Stallworth.
The only thing, Andy, the only thing, Andy, I can't get out of my head is that stupid GM for the Giants talking at the combine and me thinking to myself, no. No, that's not the guy leading the football team. They're
is
doing
this the man?
Even if it's not Belichick, my theory is this. Next year, the New York Giants will go 6-10 or whatever. They'll fire Coughlin. You'll see a Cowher, a Schottenheimer, someone. Even if it's not Belichick, he might not be available. But I think the Giants will be going for a big-name coach in 2008.
They have to. I mean, it's New York. They need to.
Because that GM, if you saw what Andy and I saw, you would just think to yourself, this is a setup. They just want Coughlin to fail now.
Andy was more down on that GM guy than he is on Lane Kiffin.
Oh, I know about that.
No, Andy looked. It was this
Andy
quick.
He took one look
this
at
quick. Is that Lane Kiffin? Yeah. No chance. That quick.
Because he was red.
He's ridiculous. No chance. I'm sorry, Lane. I hope you do well in your next career and your next opportunity, but no chance. Fred.
Yes.
What do you know about? I've heard reports from various people that Bill Belichick's contract, which no one knows about, that the team holds an option moving forward.
That's what everybody
that
says.
He wouldn't be able to just walk away because the team holds the option.
All I know is that as long as he wants to be here, he's here.
Well, he'd be able to walk away, but...
But not to coach, not to go to the New York Giants.
Right.
Because if the team exercises the option, he's under contract
with
the New York Patriots.
Unless he goes as a consultant.
It would be one of those compensation kind of deals. Yeah.
I don't know.
What if he wants $10 million a year?
I really don't know.
Which was posed by that guy, Czarnecki.
Czarnecki.
That he should be the first $10 million a year
coach. Do you
think
they would pay him $10 million a year to stay here?
I think if I was the Crafts.
You are a Crafts.
I would do it.
Which you are.
As long as in his contract he has certain marketing promotional responsibilities that he has to do willingly.
Would one of them be talking to PFW occasionally?
Maybe. No, but I can make my money back with him. Maybe producing a video, a skills video.
I'm not in the ticket meeting.
Coaching video. If I can use him to make ancillary money, yeah, I'd pay him $10 million bucks.
This is a guy that was uncomfortable sitting with us for 5 minutes at Shula's, and Fred wants to put him on tour and do videos.
Oh, but we've all seen him when he's in front of a crowd teaching. There's no one better.
All right. I just don't think he likes to do it now that he's coaching. Maybe when he's done coaching.
Well, for $10 million a year, maybe he, you know, money talks.
Along those lines, did you read the quotes from Rodney Harrison as the keynote speaker at the New England Turf Management Association meeting? A bunch of groundskeepers got together, and for some reason, Rodney Harrison was the keynote speaker.
What does he think? What does he think he has something to say about everything?
Some of his quotes about, because he opened it up to questions and just the honesty about Freddie Mitchell. They asked, where is he now, or how did that happen? And he said, I don't know. I think he's trying out in an arena league. Next, he might be trying to work for you, so keep a job open or something like that as a groundskeeper.
Right now, I'm somewhere.
Is that a shot
in
at groundskeepers?
Maybe. But how do you come about Rodney Harrison, Eddie, at a turf convention? Just any name you
right
can
now
get.
I'm somewhere
that's all it is.
In Attleboro, just, and I kind of took a wrong turn.
Come to the convention and hear from Rodney.
So it was basically they said, we'll take the biggest name we can get. And Hill said, well, if the price is right, I'll do it. And
hey,
he made the price
Parcells
right.
Was here. He'd do anything for 50 large. Those are his words. 50 large.
I like that kind of
thing.
There's
a former backup quarterback that won't even allow you to talk to him for less than 20 large.
Bledsoe?
No.
Who?
The guy who bought us pizza?
Much smaller.
Oh,
Zo?
I know who you're talking about. No, Flutie. Much smaller. He's on his list.
Flutie.
BC.
Oh.
No, that's
who would want to talk to
him? I was one of the idiots in the stands yelling for Flutie.
I looked into it because my high school has their varsity club dinner in May, and they were looking to get him and were willing to make a donation, part of the proceeds from the night, to his his autism charity. And not even worth speaking to him for less than 20 grand.
You hear about Manning? He's going to be at some girl's Sweet 16 for 200 large. That's not a bad take.
No.
I don't know.
What is this whole Sweet 16 phenomenon?
They got this show on. These
no,
rich,
I know, but why?
I don't know.
Where
for the rich people,
from?
Sweet 16s are big.
Really?
So Connor's having one?
I mean, I know the show. I understand the show.
I bet you most of them aren't even virgins.
I understand. I know the show.
Little
horse. You're talking on MTV.
And you know for a fact.
But I don't know. Maybe I just didn't run in those circles. I don't know. I didn't know
that
many. I didn't know that many people with that kind of money.
You go to Beverly Hills and those places.
Maybe it's just the really, really crusty rich people.
Because
I don't know anybody that had a Sweet 16 for their daughter.
No, they used to also be called debutante balls.
Well, that I know, but that's a different thing.
Okay.
This Sweet 16 thing is... This Sweet 16 thing that Andy's talking about is totally different than that debut.
Oh, yeah.
That was like the coming out.
Right,
you're coming, entering into society.
Exactly, yes.
That I understand. I've seen that. I know
they have that in Everett? They have coming out balls?
No, absolutely not.
Sounds like something
Everett,
that was in like one of those old movies.
50s
or
60s,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, debutante balls.
Yes, that's an old time
thing.
It's an old fashioned society thing.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
But this Sweet 16 thing is much different than that.
I'm glad I don't have a girl.
But I don't know anybody who had a special birthday party for their daughter for being 16.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you're growing up, you have friends. No one? Not one person?
But you've never heard of Sweet 16 parties?
I've heard of Sweet 16, but not as
you know,
a,
that
as
movie,
a huge
16 Candles?
You better move on.
Hit the button, Gary.
Tom's getting very mad that you strayed off the draft for 5 seconds.
I thought he'd like it. We're talking about 16-year-old girls.
I was just hoping you were going to fight about somehow about
2 years
Sweet
ago,
16.
Well,
I was
banging 19-year-old blonde girls.
We were totally in agreement.
I don't know. You're always fighting about something.
Ball Sweet 16 is March Madness.
There you go. One final rant for Josh. He says the main thing I want to talk about is the waste of a draft pick in the Tub Jackson. He misses most of his rookie training camp to injuries, and now he's going to go 2-for-2. Great job, you loser. How did you get hurt on the bench anyway? Maybe we should talk to Marquise Hill on how to properly stretch to sit on the bench. That way we can continue to pay him not to play. The bright side is that we won't have to pay for a China plane ticket for that loser. I've got an idea. Cut the tub. Use this money for a player that will actually see the field. Who is worth more, washed-up Gaffney or future star Tub?
Jeez. Well, in defense of Jackson,
did you send that email? That had the tone of a Tom Casale rant.
In defense of Jackson, he actually has muscles to pull. I don't know if you've ever seen Marquise Hill without his shirt on, but he's not going to pull anything.
His breasts are huge.
I'll defend Jackson a little bit too, I guess. I mean, is it really the guy's fault that he tore his ACL? I mean,
it's some bad luck.
Are we holding that against the guy?
It's frustrating, but
of course
it's frustrating. You can't really.
I'm a lot more frustrated with what I saw on the field than I am with the fact that he got hurt.
What'd you see on the field?
Nothing. That's why I'm frustrated with that.
No, that he had that good catch against the Jets where he came back for the ball and reached over
that
the corner.
That was a good catch. Unfortunately, it was week two, and we never saw it again.
And it was also the last time I could say he made that great catch.
Salt from Orlando. Got some things to say, and if you already went over it in previous emails, feel free to go over it again. So that one guy with a dial-up has a heart attack. nice signing of Thomas, but I'd like to have seen Porter signed instead.
I just don't think that could have worked here.
Because there's so many guys in that locker room that hate him so much.
What a typical Pat fan. I want the guy with three Pro Bowls. Screw that other guy. He only has two. But why hasn't Porter been – well, he has been signed. Kyle Brady, why not two guys who've already been here, Fourier or Wiggins? Why not Randy McMichael?
Well, neither of those guys are blocking tight ends.
And McMichael and Wiggins couldn't block us.
Well, McMichael wasn't available at the time that they signed Brady. So
that's true. And McMichael and Wiggins is totally not an option.
I mean, you already have those guys.
You needed
Tom just cut out.
Thomas and Watson.
He's back.
How'd you do that?
He was getting all animated. He banged the button.
I'm looking for that button Tom said that I could push anytime he got out of.
I remember that.
Yeah. I don't have one.
I remember that.
Remember you said anytime I lose it, I can press a button. But I don't have a button.
Just throw something at me.
Oh, okay.
How about if we just give you one of these?
Yeah. One of these, I said, remember?
Okay. I thought you'd been hitting the button. Salt says also, is Wes Welker worth a two? One may think he probably peaked last year at 70 catches, 700 yards. Others may think, he played with Miami.
10 touchdowns.
And got 70 catches and 700 yards. So is he worth a two? I don't know. I think
to the Patriots, yes, because they thought he was. Yeah. I would never even consider it, but I ignore that now and I say, I look at what he does moving forward because they clearly wanted him that bad.
Right.
And they
I'll say to the Patriots, is the way they use their second round picks, absolutely.
That's true.
Well, it's better than picking a tight end, right?
It's better than picking anybody they've taken in the second round, with the exception
of
Matt White.
Or a receiver. Or a defensive end.
I don't know about the rumors of Randy Moss being traded here, but I wouldn't want to waste another one of our first-day picks on him. Maybe a couple day two picks.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
So. Third-round pick would probably be the pick now, because they don't have the two. But, you know, the interesting thing is Adam Schefter, your boy, who apparently is just a pawn for the Patriots, was adamant that they're not going to trade him for anything less than first-round value because
everybody else says that you can get him for a lot less than that. For some reason, Adam Schefter thinks that because they asked for two first-rounders for Jerry Porter last year, they're not going to accept less than that for Randy Moss.
Well, Schefter seems to have a mole in the Raiders organization.
Seems to have one in this organization.
It's Fred.
I have no problem if the Patriots continue to use him and embarrass him, because I don't like him lately. He's gotten too big for his britches. Everything he says is cocky and definitive.
But, you know, I like that.
I don't.
Want a guy
I hate
that
it.
Comes out and says, this
he
is
sounds
what's
like Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, I don't mind
now.
That.
I'd rather have
oh,
that
I don't
than,
mind.
Than,
no.
He's a total jerk.
No. This is what I think.
Fred. No. I have no problem.
Yeah, and at the combine, he was being mean to people in his little headset.
Plus, he's
blind, so he gives you this weird squinty eye look when he looks at you. You just want to punch him in the face.
He's a douche. You're mistaking confidence for cockiness. I have no problems with him coming on and saying the Patriots are going to be the team that signs Adalys Thomas. That's what he did last week. That was fine. But it was the aftermath of that when he says, look, I don't know how you guys didn't put these pieces together and connect the dots, but, you know, total jerk. First of all, And I'll give our listeners the thumbs up here. People have been emailing this show since September saying that the Patriots need to go after Adalys Thomas. I mean, this is not a new fad. I mean, all year long, everybody was saying Lance Briggs, Adalys Thomas. Those are the guys that you have to go after.
and suddenly Adam Schefter is the only one who invented football. I mean, you make fun of me? That was ridiculous, the way he was talking about himself on that, on that spot. I have no problem with him saying this is going to happen. It's him saying this is going to happen because I say so, and I'm the only one that knows these things.
Just give us the information in the manner that you know it's true, but don't give the attitude. I think I said to Paul this morning, he's doing a great job online. He's doing a, I don't know if it's a blog or a story. I don't have attitude.
Woo.
I don't act like a jerk like him. I'm fun-loving jerk like Gilligan.
Except no one loves you.
Let's see. Misha writes in.
Misha Barton?
He says, Tom for president, Andy for HGH therapy.
Is Misha a girl or a boy?
I don't know. Does it matter?
Get some hormone therapy.
Feeling pretty good about the additions of AD, Welker, Brady, and Morris. When I found out about the AD signing around 5 a.m. on Saturday, I jumped off a second-story balcony. That's how excited I was and drunk. Now my sights, as well as Tom's, I think, have turned to LaRon Landry. I think he's a monster. That hit on Alabama quarterback is insane. Most people projecting him going around the 10th pick. Now we have the ammunition to get up there and snag him. What are your thoughts? Is it a likelihood? And also, if you could comment on him off the field, is he a Patriots type or not?
You mean, does he do steroids? Is he arrested? Or, well, see, we're not using that phrase anymore.
Okay.
I was impressed at the combine with his demeanor. That's the thing I liked. He was that
his
soft,
demeanor?
The soft-spoken, quiet type.
That's
who just
Seinfeld.
He just he does his business on the field. That's what I like. So, okay. I mean, they have normally I would say no, that they wouldn't do that, but the way they're approaching this offseason, I don't think you can say that now because
well, you can't predict a trade into the top 10. I mean, that's a
right.
a big
that's
deal.
A big
that's
jump.
Plus
big,
one of those big. Teams would have to want to trade.
Right, that's what I mean. So you certainly can't just say, well, it's obvious now that their two numbers add up to the eighth overall pick, so book it. They're going to be – that would be a huge deal. And they've already had their huge deal for the offseason. His name is Adalys Thomas.
Right. And the mistake that we always make, and Fred hit on it right in the first 10 minutes, you know, the people that go out there and say the Patriots don't do this or they don't do that, we just let's
they
put
do
those
whatever
to
they
rest.
Can
right.
They do whatever they think is best. And, and if that's trading two guys – two picks to get up in the top 10, they'll do it. I mean, it's they love to trade. We know that. They've traded almost every draft. They've traded extensively. I would have to say that's the one constant that you have going into a draft is you know they'll move around.
And I think it's now a virtual lock that they do not pick at 24 and 28 just because
the
of
question
the
question is,
do something.
Do you trade out or
oh,
do you trade
that's
out?
That's a good bet.
I don't know.
You know.
I think it's
odds
a lock.
On staying put or trading.
I think they trade somewhere, somehow, some, I don't know. If I
know
they're
down,
one,
I don't know, but
right.
they're trading.
I think they're trading down.
Because
I think that's more likely.
I think
when
they're going to end up with
only
one first-round pick, and they'll end up with either an extra second or maybe a pick in the future.
Mm-hmm. See, I think they could do either, but when you have all these players, what's the likelihood that you just sit pat and get the guys you want at 24 and 28 when everybody says that the guy at 12 to 40 could be the same guys? Right. I mean, what are the chances the perfect two fall in your slot?
And then Bill
you
comes
move.
Out, you know, on draft day, and it's like, you know, we're watching the parade go by, and he usually right. recycles that same quote that he just waving yeah. as the parade goes by every year.
Then he tells me they would have drafted Chad Jackson at 21. He would have been a bigger bust.
Ashton from Virginia. I'm happy with that the Patriots finally got aggressive a little in the free agency market and went and got Adalys Thomas, Wes Welker, because really not being aggressive has hurt them over the last 5 years. But anyway, Wes Welker
last
seems like
they won the Super Bowl.
Can't help himself.
Wes Welker seems like he could give us plenty of depth at wide receiver. I'm going to have to research this Morris guy. I'm even hearing about the Pats maybe going after Randy Moss, but I remember hearing a conversation a few weeks ago that if Belichick decides to go on a spending frenzy with the salary cap, then maybe he's trying to go all out for one last Super Bowl before he leaves the Pats. Is this what you think is going on? This thought alone scares me to no end. P.S., I think it was Tom a few weeks ago that was left alone to read all those emails. Actually, it was Paul. Yeah, it was pretty dull, but at least my email got read. I'm surprised there weren't
wow.
any callers. And what use is it, is that Gary guy, if he's just going to chime in every 20 minutes with one-word replies?
You were doing that to me, by the way. I would go, what do you think, Gary? And you'd go, yep.
Do I really need to go back and listen to that show?
No, it was pretty boring.
Yeah, but I might get some material.
I mean, it was funny, but it was boring.
Intentional funny or unintentional funny?
A little of both. A little of both.
One-word answers.
What, was Kyle on?
Actually, I didn't have any one-word answers. I didn't even turn the mic on.
No, it was factual. Kyle wasn't here.
Let's see. Chantel says he's from Nova. Phil.
Chantel, Phil.
Philip from Nova Scotia. But
apparently that's his wife's name and email account.
Yeah, I don't know. Headline, Teddy is no longer singular. He is now part of the new AT&T, Adalius Thomas and Teddy Bruschi. I'm liking the potential of this linebacking duo. When Teddy was in his prime, from a fan's view, it seemed like he could almost do it all on his own.
Wow.
Now that Thomas is in the mix, I'm expecting good things to come from them working together. Forgive me if I sound a little too optimistic or goofy, but it's great to hear some good off-season news for once. That's all for now. I have to get busy making some AT&T signs.
Did he make a face for once, and he kind of rolled his eyes and nodded his head?
Oh, one more thing. I have a question for Walshot Hart. Has he ever heard the Camel Toe song? Just thought he might enjoy it. You can find it on YouTube.
No, I haven't. But I'll be YouTubing.
I was just going to say, he just filled up Andy's last 3 hours of the day.
Does it come with pictures?
I got to leave a little early. I got radio.
Oh, sorry. Last 10 minutes of the day.
All right. Let's see.
Fred, that really bothers you, huh? This little tone people are taking. It's so nice to be active.
I know. It's
in the
like,
off
geez,
season,
they just
big off season.
It's so terrible over the last few years. God.
But
the off seasons have been.
Look, if you're into like
do you think they had really
flashes in the free agency, this is great for you.
Forget about
if you're into that kind of thing.
Forget.
But it's not always the end all be not, all of having a good team.
You're just not fair. No one said they didn't have a good team. No one said that. I didn't see one emailer said they haven't had good teams the last 2 years. But have they had good off seasons the last 2 years?
Last 2 years, no.
Okay, that's all people
what they
are
said.
Saying.
I know, but it's like they never done anything right. You know?
That's not what
that's
they said.
Not what saying.
Robin Ashford, Virginia.
He's playing the Andy role.
He is. All of a sudden, you switch with Bubblehead over there.
Robin Ashford, hey. Virginia. Let's see. Hey guys, long time no email. I've been a long mourning period since the. I've been at mourning. He means M O U. He spelled it like the day. Morning period.
I'm sure he's
glad
now
he pointed that out.
Instead of just reading it, he had to point out that he didn't have a proper.
Since the Colts game, as Kramer would say, I'm back, baby. One, nice piece in the Boston Globe this past Sunday by Bella English. I disagree. About Belichick and some of the personal things that are currently happening with him. Nothing really new in the piece, except isn't his son, who is 19, a little old for high school?
He's in prep school.
Right.
Yeah. Northfield Mount Hermon is a prep school.
Two,
post-grad for lacrosse, right?
I believe so, yeah.
I think he's going somewhere.
Two, speaking of the Globe, Bob Kraft, Bill Belichick, and I will be celebrating for the next 60 days. Goodbye, Ron. Goodbye. Stephen Glass is waiting for you in purgatory. So that's it.
That's the movie, Broken Glass. He worked for the – what?
Well, he says Chicago. This is borrowed from a broken glass of DVD on Stephen Glass. Shattered Pats, a story about the fast rise and steep fall of Ron Borges' journalistic career at the Boston Globe during the 80s to 2000 when his serial journalistic fraud was exposed. The film is based on real events and also captures the high-pressure world of national sports journalism and hating the Pats.
It's a real movie about Ron Borges?
No, it's about
Stephen
Glass.
Glass.
He worked for the National Republic. Is that the name of it, Fred?
I don't know.
Is that the name of a magazine?
Yeah. The Republic.
The Republic. He worked there, and he made up stories. They were remember the girl we were talking about who made up that phenomenal?
Trisha Smith.
His stories were phenomenal, but he just made them all up, and that's what the movie is about. It wasn't just plagiarism. He flat out made up stories.
Which I think is a far more egregious offense.
Yeah.
It's like Patricia Smith, what she did.
Yeah, that's what we were
saying. She made somebody
but
up.
Her story was phenomenal, and his
right,
story
was phenomenal. But she said, if this was a fictitious person that I'm making up, you know, it would have been okay.
I'm not saying it's
but
okay.
She told people the person existed.
I know. I'm just saying the story was a very good story, and so were his. All his stories were great, but none of them were true.
Right.
And they made a movie about it. And he's saying that they'll make a movie about Borges now in a similar fashion.
Well, speaking of Borges, I think the Globe shouldn't fire him, but when he comes back, I don't think you should cover the Pats.
Well, the thing is that they're going to find other stuff.
You think so?
Yeah. And he's going to get fired.
Why? I don't think they'll find it. You think they'll find
it? This is the
MO. I'm
going
to say this.
That's what happened with Patricia Smith. They suspended her for 2 months. They looked into her work, found other stuff, gone.
They did it with Glass,
too. Same thing with Mike Barnicle.
In the movie. Barnicle.
It's clear that when you do this stuff.
That's what they do. They suspend you.
You don't just do it once.
Huh.
And, you know, I like the guy. I like him a lot. But I don't have any excuse for what he did. You know, I think we all agree. But
yeah.
I think he's going to end up losing his job over this, and it's going to be probably the best thing that ever happened to him because he's going to get a better gig like Barnicle did.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you should be allowed on ESPN radio anymore.
He's going to have his own show.
Him being on there.
Stand up with his own show. It could create more opportunities for you guys.
That's true.
We'll he shouldn't be on as a guest anymore. He should either be a host or nothing at all.
I mean, he'd make a lot of money
doing it. If they make it like a midday show, another local show, bang, you guys are in.
I'll go back to what I said when this first happened. If this is an isolated case, the spirit of plagiarism wasn't there, I don't think. Yes, it is plagiarism, but what people intend to do when they plagiarize, I don't think.
I agree with that.
I'll defend Borges that way.
What's the spirit of plagiarism?
Like when I was in school and I just copied stuff and turned it in as my own and got an A.
Right. I don't think he was ever trying to pass off those notes as stuff that I gathered myself.
Right. Like, I don't think let's say in 3 weeks from now, no one ever said anything about this plagiarism stuff. And let's just say 3 weeks from now, someone's talking about Daryl Jackson. I don't think Borges is saying, yeah, it's like I wrote 3 weeks ago. I don't think that he meant it that. I think he knew where he was taking it, and I think he thought it was assumed I'm taking this from someone else.
Right. And just
laziness. But it is plagiarism. I'm not denying that. But I kind of agree with Fred. I don't think that he was opening a book and saying, that's a great idea. I'm going to steal that.
Right,
you know, that's plagiarism to me. You know, that's the spirit of it.
And passing it off as your own. And if I'm his boss, I'm more mad that, hey, I'm paying you all this money and all you're doing is copying down this stuff verbatim.
Right.
You know, you can't even give me the you know, respect of changing the words and earning a little money.
It is wrong in every sense of the word.
He's supposed to be one of the most well-connected football reporters in the country. You can't come up with something?
Well, there's always that option that he's lost his mind. Which could be if you've ever talked to him.
The other part of it that we all talked about, and it's just, look, it's happened so much now. I mean, there was a guy, the guy from the Worcester Telegram, Ken Powers, that it happened to during the Super Bowl when you guys were in Jacksonville. He lost his job over it. We all talked about it.
But to me, that was egregious, in the spirit, plagiarism.
I agree. But we all work, PFW is a weekly, so a lot of the stories that we write, the topics that we write about are already written. And it'd be very easy for us to take the same stuff that's already written.
And we only do that like half the time.
Right. I almost
Kevin Mannix used to keep us open while he was writing.
I almost always change everything. No, I mean, obviously you try to look for a different way of saying things. It's very easy to change the words around. Like Andy said, I just can't believe that he would be so lazy as to not even change anything. And that's where he got himself in trouble, laziness.
But that's where I think lends you to believe maybe it wasn't the first time. You get so cocky. Well, I've gotten away with it before. No one's going to notice.
There's no way it's the first time.
Come on. Could he be that unlucky where he does it and he gets caught? Right. He gets caught immediately.
He's out.
But the other thing to argue against it not being the first time is with all the scrutiny that he's under by these Borges haters, don't you think they would have found it before now?
But they have to find the other source, too.
Well, I know, but they did this time.
Yeah, something's fishy about that, though. Whoever posted it originally, I don't know if it's just your average fan. Matter of fact, knowing Mike Sando, it's probably Mike Sando.
We need a disclaimer
because he's a piece of
Tom
crap.
Hates Mike Sando.
Well, I heard. Well, speaking of agendas, speaking of agendas,
you like him?
No,
he's the guy. Yeah, he's the guy that.
And
you
I hope
look
he's
at
listening
and
right now.
Nobody likes. You can tell. Ryan Leaf threw a football at his head. I mean, he's that little geek. What the fans think about the prototypical sports writer, geek in high school that got beat up. That's Mike Sando. That's who he is.
Except he's taller than you think.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
He's tall.
Is he tall?
Okay. When he had his windsuit on at the combine, he was tall in it.
Did he run?
Same windsuit he wore like 3 days in a row.
Yeah, he wore a wind. That ought to tell you about Mike Sando. He wore a windsuit.
Gil Brandt school of
except
fashion.
Except not Gil Brandt.
I wore a windsuit, but I was coaching sixth grade basketball.
Yeah, unfortunately for them.
And as I've said.
Asking them if they had lost or won the game.
They're holding a youth sports festival here at Gillette Stadium, and I expect you to be in attendance at all those classes because you need it.
You should be there.
It's targeted at you.
The best part was the whistle. When he went into his desk to get the whistle and put it around his neck, that's when I lost it.
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to make you laugh. That's all. James from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Do you think the reason the Patriots acquired Wes Welker from the Dolphins has just as much to do with his ability to do so many things on special teams as it does with their efforts to shoring up the thinning receiver core?
Yes.
I think the situation they had with the punters last season taught them that they need to have versatile players like Welker who can just step in and do the job nearly as well as the player he is replacing. I think all those things.
If you take away special teams, Wes Welker literally is well overpaid. I mean, he's not coming in here to just be a receiver.
I mean, even if he
his whole package is
even
has
if
to
he
be
caught
included.
70 balls, you could make the argument that it's a little on the high end,
right?
You know, for salary. But well, no, I suppose if he caught 67 passes, I mean, I suppose that's in line with.
Well, he caught 67 passes for 670 yards. He wasn't doing anything after. That's the problem.
People think this guy's a great playmaker.
He's a huge playmaker, but as you pointed out earlier in the week, and then I looked up his numbers. What playmaking? He catches the ball 10 yards per shot, kickoff 22 yards, punt return 9 yards. They already got players who do that. They're Caldwell, Falk, and whoever returns kicks.
And we had an email that said
Lawrence Maroney.
Or Ellis Hobbs.
They're better than that. Oh, okay. I'm saying someone else who isn't as good.
And we, you know, one of the emailers said that he's a guy that's capable of scoring from anywhere on the field. Well, in 3 years, he scored twice. And one as a receiver and one as a returner. 3 years. So, no, he's not a guy capable of scoring from anywhere on the field.
He's a guy who catches a 7-yard pass and get you a first down. That's what he does.
Now, that's the only thing. Like, people keep, you know, I see the Troy Brown comparison. Well, Troy Brown, we know, is a more valuable guy, or has been a more valuable guy than his stats would indicate over the years. He's caught numerous key third down passes to extend drives and whatnot. Now, if he's that, if mm-hmm. a lot of his catches are in that, you know, that regard, sure, he's a valuable guy. He's more valuable than his stats would be. I don't know that answer because I don't, you know, I saw him have a great game against the Patriots in Foxborough, and I saw him completely invisible in Miami.
I'm going on the record saying there's virtually no chance that he can swing you to say, you know what, this guy's way better than I thought. A lot of the stuff he does doesn't show
Once
up in the box
the list,
score.
Always on the
He's
list.
He's on the list.
Just so you know, Troy Brown's kind of on the list, so you can imagine what I'm going to think of Wes Welker.
All right.
Troy Brown's on the list.
He worked his way off the list when he caught 100 balls that year.
And then 99 the next. I mean,
plus, I love Troy Brown, so I'm biased.
Let's see. Josh from Chattanooga. Good hearing everybody back last week. The week before wasn't too bad since it was only 1 hour of rambling by Paul. But seriously, he did a good job.
That was 2 weeks ago.
For what he had to work with. But my reason for writing doesn't have much to do with the Patriots or football in general. I don't know if you guys follow hockey or have been following the hit on Chris Drury that put him out with the concussion and post-concussion syndrome systems. I don't know what that means. But that was about 2 weeks ago, and now he says he wants to be back by Wednesday, today. Did nobody learn anything from what came out with the whole Ted Johnson saga? Do the league share information? Does Drury or the Sabres know what could happen by coming back too soon? Maybe you guys should pull some strings and get Drury in touch with Ted Johnson. I know teams are making the playoff push, but it seems that all the hoopla that Johnson caused has already been forgotten by the sports world. Any comments, guys? Nothing? No?
Drury went to BU. I don't like him.
You don't like Chris Drury?
I change the station when they show hockey highlights because I think it's the worst sport ever invented.
And I'm also not sure they share a lot of information.
No.
I think you have trouble sometimes within a league, teams sharing information on injuries and concussions and different things. Now, between leagues, it's still a developing issue. It's not going to immediately be a perfect scenario where everybody understands everything and they treat it with the kid gloves that it should be. So that's what the player wants to play.
Plus, there's a big difference between two weeks and 4 days, by the way.
Right.
You know, there's a big difference there.
And there's also a little bit of a difference between he doesn't have to get hit. Well, Ted Johnson, anytime he steps on a field with a helmet and shoulder pads on, his head is going to make contact with another helmet. It's a guarantee based on the position he plays and the way that position is played. In hockey, I think you can kind of avoid some contact. It's not a virtual certainty you're going to hit your head.
You can't play hockey if you have a concussion, though, because you can't.
You
can't go through a game saying, "Well, maybe I won't get whacked into the boards tonight."
Right, but it's not a guarantee you're going to get hit. That's the difference.
I would say it's not as much of a guarantee as Ted Johnson has, but I would say it's pretty much a guarantee you're going to get hit. No. You can't go through a hockey game without getting hit.
I agree.
I don't know. I just don't think it's a guarantee helmet to helmet or helmet to
no,
board.
No, I don't think it's a Ted Johnson.
Your head doesn't necessarily have to hit the board. It's just that jostling. You're moving your brain around.
No, I know that. I think there's more of a guarantee that if you are in any way limited by a concussion, you're going to re-injure it playing football at middle linebacker.
And I'm not like I like hockey. I'm not blowing off hockey.
I am.
But I just, you know, I agree with Andy. I just don't think there's a lot of crossover there. I don't think it's all that relevant.
Let's see. Russell from the OC. Good to have the gang all back together. Enjoyed Andy and King Tom's combine review last week. Great to see the Patriots go out and snatch Adalys Thomas up before anyone knew what happened. Of course, Borges had to put his negative spin on it. If they didn't sign him, he would have had a bunch of bad words on their lack of effort. Why doesn't he leave town or go write for the Daily News or the New York Post? Also, why Wes Welker? Why not spend that cash on Joey Porter? Now that they have Thomas, do you think Patrick Willis is still in their sights? I'd even trade up to get him on Casale's review alone. Finally, what's with Samuel's contract? Are they going to have enough cash left for him? He can't be too pleased with the franchise tag and them throwing money at the likes of Wes Welker. If San Francisco gave Clements 8 years and $80 million, I think the Pats offer 4 to 5 at $55 million with $12 to $16 million signing bonus. I like the possibility of the trade the Globe brought up for Darryl Jackson. If Seattle would take a third-round pick, I'd vote for it. Great show, guys, and make sure they throw some of that cash your way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Is this the part where, since we kind of really talked about all of those issues, where we just say we don't repeat it so that guy with the dial-up doesn't have an aneurysm?
Exactly.
Although I don't, if you think Samuel's taking $12 million signing bonus, you're nuts.
Yeah.
Well, I think I might get that.
All right.
Although, the last time we said that.
Craig says,
Thomas.
Hello,
he took 12,
hello, A-team and that other guy. It must be Paul.
read the heading.
Well done, Fred.
Tom is the man and Andy sucks. Oh, okay.
Must be from Ireland then.
So is your mom.
So we're the A-team. So Fred, you were in there.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I'm sure we're all.
Who's this from?
Craig.
Well, South Carolina?
Boxborough.
He doesn't care for you.
I'm sure we're all impressed.
Or Foxborough.
I'm sure we're all impressed with the free agent acquisitions and trades the Patriots have made. At first glance, it may seem surprising. I don't think it is surprising at all because the Patriots love these versatile players. Thomas and Welker give the Pats that versatility like Troy Brown does. Speaking of Troy Brown, what is his situation with the team? Should we expect him back next year? And will Teddy Bruschi's role be scaled back this coming year because of the arrival of Thomas? P.S. Andy.
Yes.
I complimented you last week with your combine analysis, and you responded with suck it because I gave Tom his rightful due. So, Andy, I retract my compliment. Tom, you're the best, and Gilligan, you suck.
Another good email.
Said, so does your mom.
From Craig from Boxborough, wherever that is.
God, he's just relentlessly rude.
Interesting. She lives in Boxborough, too.
Oh.
What?
I don't think Troy Brown's coming back.
I kind of don't either.
Yeah. What's he do? Does he stay with the team in some capacity?
Probably.
Whether he comes back or not, I agree with these guys. I don't think he's going to, but it's clear what the Patriots thought of the receiving corps last year, which we were told all year wasn't a problem. It's clear what the Patriots coaches thought of the receiving corps.
Well, one of the things
they've done nothing but target every wide receiver that's out there.
If you read what Mangini said about why he brought Dable, it's a nice little dig. You know, I really was impressed with what he did with what he had.
Dig or honest assessment?
It was a dig.
I think it was honest.
Asked that great question that you didn't hear, instead you heard the one, the bad one that I did ask. But it was a little.
Do we have
dig.
To get into the bad one?
It was a little dig. I think.
What are the odds that Andy's not going to get into that?
No, that's why I said he was there for the bad
can
one.
Ignore it. We all asked bad questions.
We talked about it last.
Where's the emails that we got that told me how good Caldwell and Gaffney and those guys were? Because now that the team doesn't think they were that great, all of a sudden they weren't that great.
That's my point, Tom. Thanks.
I think they were okay.
I think
Gaffney that you're learning what they thought. Whether you thought they were okay is irrelevant. We're learning that they thought it wasn't so okay.
I think they can do better.
You bring in Stallworth and you draft another receiver, Jabbar Gaffney is going to have to bust his hump just
Tom
to make
Brady
this team.
Said, hey, look, whoa.
If they bring in Stallworth and draft a receiver, he's got no chance. I think if they do one or the other, he needs to bust his hump to make the team.
Tom Brady said, look, I got a family to feed now and I need better receivers.
I agree with you. I think Brady came in.
They went and traded for Wes Welker.
But I think Brady went in after the season and said, listen, I've done everything you've ever asked me to do.
I kept my mouth shut last year.
Now get me
someone that can play.
Exactly.
And by the way, there might be a story about some other stuff. Look for that in the papers.
What other stuff?
Yeah, his baby.
Oh, okay. Dave from Queens, a second-round pick for Welker?
Thanks.
Okay, I saw him play a number of times last year, and he's a solid punt returner, and maybe, if he reaches his maximum potential, a second receiver, and we traded a second-round pick for him. He's a young Tim Dwight, and I think he's a good player, but couldn't we have traded that pick for something more? And no, Tom, I'm not saying he's like Dwight, because he's white.
Okay, I was because I just made a face when you said it.
It's his style of play. One more quick question. Do you consider Samuel a shutdown corner? Because it seems as if he's eventually looking to get paid if he is one.
He was last year.
As if he is one, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, he was last year. We'll have to see if he does it again this year. I'll say yes, then, because he did it 2 years in a row, and he'll be expecting big money, I would imagine.
Okay. Let's see. Fred from Canada writes in, why are you all thinking that the Pats will target linebacker, safety, cornerback, or wide receiver with the first two picks in the first round? Since when is need an issue with the Patriots' drafting strategy?
Virtually every pick they've made.
Yeah, so why don't you give us your mock draft, because you know so much.
Everybody knows Bill Belichick will draft a left guard and a tight end. With this knowledge, start giving us tight end and guard prospects. And he has a little smiley symbol.
So all right.
Virtually every pick they've made has been a need pick. I know that they have a reputation for not picking for need, but almost every high pick they've made has been at least part due to need.
And, Fred, I can't stand the criticism on the mock drafts, because I put a disclaimer at the beginning of every mock draft that I have absolutely no idea who the Patriots will draft. None. I don't know any.
I'm guessing.
So I don't like the mock draft criticisms, because I'm just doing them just to do it.
He has a P.S. He says, if you guys were football analysts on national TV, Tom would be the Michael Irvin type, opinionated, entertaining, but controversial.
Agreed.
Andy would be the Shannon Sharp type, joker, funny, but childish and gets on your nerves.
Can't understand what he's saying.
At this point, when Andy lumps me in with Irish drunks, tell him he just proved my point.
I didn't, so go screw yourself, you drunk.
Fred would be the Tom Jackson type, little knowledge, lots of unfounded statements based on instincts, but in an ironic sort of way. And Paul would be the Phil Simms type, good knowledge, useful, but boring.
And still thinks that there's face guarding in the NFL.
I think that was a pretty good analogy.
Okay. That was good. Plus the big head thing with me. Oh my Shannon God. Sharp's got a big head. What?
Something's going on with this email. I don't know. Anyway, let's see. Michael from Madison, Wisconsin says, don't you think that a second rounder for Welker is a bit much in light of the fact that we could have had Moss for that? See, I'm not.
Well, I don't know.
How do we know?
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
I suppose it is consistent with the Patriots' philosophy. If they wouldn't have offered that and the seventh, they would have ended up signing him to almost $40 million contract. This way they get him a lot cheaper, and he's young. And with the Pats still having two picks in the first round of a supposed shallow draft, it eases the pain of giving up a two. I just don't know about yet another 5'9 receiver. Heck, that is my height. The Patriots came calling.
Too.
But I told him I refuse to play special teams. I am not a kamikaze. What does he bring to the table? He seems to be in the same mold as a Troy Brown.
First of all, I think you guys all agree that Troy Brown is much better than Wes Welker always has been.
I'm going to give Wes Welker a chance to develop.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Because Troy Brown year three wasn't Troy Brown now.
But the thing I'm saying is Wes Welker, what does he really do on special teams? Because it didn't seem like every year it's 22, 22, 22,
right.
9, 9, 9. It wasn't like he had a 15-yard punt return average 1 year, a 28 Lawrence Maroney kind of average on kickoff return. So what has he really done on special teams? Does he have potential? Is that what we're looking for here? Because so far he hasn't really done much.
Oh, I would hope so. Because if he does what he's done, then I think he's still, it was a bad trade and he's overpaid.
I got news for you. He can't go up against Ellis Hobbs anymore. that ship is gone. So maybe he'll look good in practice, but.
Rodney had good things to say about him at the turf convention. He said, we had to double team him. No one could stay with him man to man. It's a good signing.
All right.
Well, the other thing, we get fooled. You know, we talked about the 9 catches he had against the Patriots. And maybe, he looks like a better player. I fell into it as a returner. He was effective especially a punt returner against the Patriots, and I was surprised that his numbers were as average as that. Now, punt return, his numbers are okay. 9 yards on punt return is pretty good.
He's okay.
But 22, a kick return, is not very good. It's not just average. It's really not very good. So I was surprised to see that. But as a punt returner, I think he's been, a little dynamic. He definitely has that right mentality of coming up to get. I mean, we saw it in Miami last year. Several times on short kicks, he came running up to get them.
That's
the
one thing I'd say
took
is
over
Tim Dwight-like.
In Patriots territory that whole
fear
game.
Is a part of Wes Welker's game.
Well,
that's
I
one
think,
thing I would
I,
say.
Interesting to see how what he does here.
I think that Tim Dwight comparison with them is pretty good, even though, you laugh at the white thing, because They do play a similar style.
No, I would agree with that. The Steve Tasker one is
Steve
the white
Tasker
one.
Is
that's
just ridiculous.
That's just
is he
because they're white.
As Dwight?
I don't think he's as fast as
no.
Dwight.
Because when Tim Dwight entered
Dwight
the league,
was a blazer.
He was Bethel yeah. Johnson's special fast.
He's not that fast. Dwight was in a separate category. Yeah.
And I agree with Tom. You know, yes, it's true, in the second half of that game in Foxborough, they had to double-team Welker. I think the reason they had to double-team him is because that was the first game that Ellis Hobbs played with the broken
wrist.
And
Marty Booker was injured.
And they were able to do that because Booker got hurt earlier in the game and was out. But I think if Hobbs is 100%, you're probably not getting torched like that where you need to double-team a guy like that. I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
Hey, before we run out of time here, we should throw out some condolences to the Greenberg family.
Yes.
Yes.
Alan Greenberg passed away. Longtime Patriots beat writer, only like 53.
55, according to the paper, 52 on one TV site,
right.
Somewhere in his 50s.
Yeah.
It was shocking.
It happened last night.
And a very, very well-respected and a good guy.
Yeah.
A guy that we all enjoyed.
One of my favorites.
A guy we all enjoyed working and talking with.
One of the things, he just never took it that serious.
No, that's what I was going to say. I haven't been here long, but he's one of the few people that could make Belichick laugh.
Right.
I mean, even that whole thing about the phone number, I mean, it was done in a way where I don't even think Belichick got that mad as he would to someone else.
It wasn't overly adversarial. Yeah. He'll be missed.
I get that phone number. That's one of the funniest things ever since I've been here.
What I really enjoyed about him, Fred, was he was a guy, you know, we talk about the Globe and sometimes maybe a little arrogance, you know, and stuff like that. He was a guy that I always thought was so approachable about the business. You could ask him a question, you know, kind of for guidance. You know, how would you handle this? Or when you handled that interview, what made you do that? Or something like that. And he didn't, you know, sometimes you're afraid to ask those questions in a professional setting because it's like you're admitting weakness or some sort. But he did it in such a manner that he really felt like he was helping you. It felt like he was helping you a lot.
Plus, he'd been around the block. He knew everybody and
he'd
been everywhere.
For Christ's sakes.
Tremendous. Doing feature stories. He's writing three words down on his pad that are in 12-point
font. Know anyone that knows shorthand anymore.
He never taught me that either. The other thing, I enjoyed talking to him a lot about stuff that wasn't football related, family, you know,
Sub-Zero refrigerators.
You could talk about Alan Greenberg. You could talk about anything with him. He'll be missed.
Good guy, big shock. So it's too bad. You need more people in the media circles like him. So it's too often now these
kids take themselves too seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
They forget it's a sport.
You're lucky to be covering a sport. Absolutely.
We barely work for a living, and we get paid for it, and I don't think enough people...
Easy. He's the boss. Easy.
I know
it's better than working, that's for sure.
It's not hard work. It's hard hours, basically. It's not working.
But we enjoy
hard.
It. That's why it's not hard,
absolutely.
Because you're covering a sport.
Right.
And he understood that. I don't think, like you said, some of the younger guys coming up, I think they're taking themselves too seriously. You know, you cover football for a living.
Although he's one of those guys that it seemed like later on his true passion became the whole stock market and knowing all that crap. And he would always have the TV on the little ticker.
Big day trader.
Lee Johnson type.
Day trader. Absolutely.
Engulfed in that whole industry.
I'm still stunned.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, it is. All right. So with that moment of,
solemn
reflection.
Let's go back to a couple emails. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show. TG in New Jersey says, well, Tom can now walk the halls of Gillette without looking behind his back. I'm going to miss Dylan. I always liked him. Where do you think he'll end up? Heard some noise about the Ravens. What about Green Bay?
He wouldn't go to Green Bay.
I don't think there's much of a chance of him going to Green Bay.
I think the Ravens is probably the logical choice. But
that he was there. Is that true?
Yes, he was there. But if they re-sign Jamal Lewis, he's out. They're not going to sign him.
And they already re-signed the other guy.
There's not a huge market for him right now.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
There's not a huge market for Corey Dillon right now. I think Andy's right.
Not if he goes in with the attitude, I want to be the man.
Yeah. Because where's he going to be the man?
I think a lot of teams would love him for,
stay home if I were him for the next 5 months.
And make him a backup. I think a lot of teams would sign him.
I think Andy just hit.
Go home, wait for the phone to ring.
Yeah.
Wait for training camp. Wait for a. Because
we know he doesn't want to partake in training camp. I saw that last year.
Well, he better stay in shape, though.
He didn't partake in it last year. Oh, wait a minute. He was out there?
Yeah.
He was the guy laying down.
He was the guy that was going inside the goalpost when everybody else was running outside of them.
Mm-hmm. Being part of the media, mainstream or not, what is your take on the whole Borges thing?
Mainstream or not?
What the heck is that supposed to mean?
That was a shot.
That was a shot.
What, in your opinion,
think we are, Mike Reese?
What, in your opinion, is the dichotomy between the independent internet bloggers versus the so-called mainstream legit media? I know when I want to find out what's going on, I'll check the internet sites like ProFootballTalk.com before I look at the more established sources like the Globe, ESPN, and SI.com.
Well, Fred, can I chime in here for a second?
Sure.
Pro Football Talk just takes reports that, like, John Tomasi, I mean, very seldom.
He gets some stuff.
Well, he has stuff
every
on his
now
own.
And then, but not like during the free agency thing, like when all that stuff was going on. All he was taking reports off message boards.
Right. But it's a one-stop shopping.
But
you
the other part of that, and I love Pro Football Talk. Let's get that straight. It's a must read for me. Okay. But he is able to, we hear stuff, you know, and we're not allowed to talk about it.
No, okay. So Fred calls him.
No, but what I'm saying is we hear stuff, and we're not allowed to throw it out there until we get it backed up. Well, he's not under those same – Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk is not under those same constrictions.
Some of us aren't lawyers charging some poor schmuck $450 an hour that's paying for him to go on the internet and just throw rumors out there.
He says right up front, look, sometimes I hear things, guys – you know, he's definitely connected in some circles. He hears stuff. He could throw it up there. He doesn't have to substantiate it.
Right.
If it's wrong, it's wrong. He qualifies it all.
What was the last one?
Terry Bradshaw dead.
Question mark.
Okay, and I think it's a great site because I think he's had a lot of rumors that have turned out to be spot on.
A ton of them.
But you, I mean, when you're doing a real newspaper or a real blog, you know, under the guise of
semi-mainstream,
you can't do that. You can't just say, "Well, geez, I hear that Daniel Graham is going to get A, B, and C." You can't do it.
Boy, do I have some I'd love to throw out there.
There's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. You don't think if Mike Florio knew that thing that you're talking about, it would be on that site?
Tremendous.
What do you guys see as the future of your profession? You must have some concern. As much as he'd like to, Fred can't carry you guys forever. Or can
whoa,
he?
Whoa.
I think he meant on the staff, not carrying.
Oh, okay. I know. Why are you pushing us out the door? I knew exactly what he was talking about.
Who's this guy? I don't like his
attitude.
We
like our job.
TG and NJ, nice to see Daniel Grab get back home and get paid. At least there's one expatriate that doesn't hate the organization.
See, I told you that I've always said it, that TG, he's hit or miss on his emails. He's either very good or
why is he trying to get us fired?
I don't know what he's doing out there.
I don't like him.
I think what he said, though, is, you know, it's all going online.
We'll end the show with Patty in Ireland. Great show as always.
Drunk.
Tom, I love information you give us on the Combine. You do a great job considering you have to work with that jackass Andy A-hole Hart. We all know Tom does all the work at the Combine because Andy has no football knowledge whatsoever. Screw you, Andy!
Or chew on a potato.
That's it. We'll see you next
Wednesday.
Chew that
wart off your nose.